shot at $1,000 is now. Text the nationwide keyword money. M-O-N-E-Y, money, to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's money, to 200-200. Go get them.
Someone's going to get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning.
Why, yes, it is. Hey, you wanted the best, you got the best. That is talk show in the morning anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters Morning Drill Radio 104.1, and we are broadcasting live on iHeartRadio, which is an application for your phone. Sometimes you can get it, a brand new car. You get a brand new car, you look down, bam, there you go. You've got iHeartRadio. That means you've got the Monsters in the Morning. That means you've got all of Real Radio 104.1. It's pretty daggone cool. When you see that little icon, you've got the entire radio station. And we have a podcast channel, okay, on the podcast section. So there's a podcast section for all these different podcasts from around the country. When you type in Monsters in the Morning, you'll have our show, which is really, really cool. Also, if you've got Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play Monsters in the Morning podcast, and it'll play it for you. That's kind of cool. Or Alexa, play WTKS Orlando. It'll play the entire radio station. We have our own YouTube channel that we're putting a lot of work into. It's really cool. We've got thousands of people that are checking that out. You can be one of them. All you got to do is go to iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube. The best way to find everything, though, is to go to the source, and that's our website, monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. Everything's linked there, and you can find all the stuff we're doing on monsters.fm, whether it's stuff Dirty Jim's doing, Angel, Carlos, all of us. It's all right there on monsters.fm, so you can check it all out by going there. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins. I'm the host of the program, and with everyone today, we're going to do this until 11 o'clock. Here's the Gut Ripper champion of Palatka, Florida, Dirty Jim.
Hello.
Our producer is the Angel of Boom, Angel Rivera.
Cool.
And to my right is Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
To the top, never stop, baby.
Yeah, people were yesterday going, where's Savannah? Did you get rid of Savannah? No, we didn't get rid of Savannah. She's busy. She's it's spring break, and she works at a theme park. So, you know, do the math. She works at Gatorland, and that's her love. And so she's busy doing that this week, but she'll be back to a regular schedule next week.
Sure.
Regular. Why is regular a bad word? I'm just waking up, I guess.
Yeah, but you're having a stroke.
Regular.
Oh, my God.
No, my heart's fine. No, well, stroke would be your head, wouldn't it?
Yeah, stroke's a brain thing, I believe.
Speaking of which, this happened yesterday. Wow. Yesterday, I erased it. Yesterday, I took my wife hasn't been to the dentist in a while, and she's like one of those, you know, not a big fan of going to the dentist. So I went with her to meet Dr. Zach Hodgins, who is our dentist. And I said, I swear to God, this is the nicest dentist you'll ever meet. You're going to be comfortable. You're going to love it. So took her. She loved him. It was great.
Right.
On the way back, we're coming down 1792, right past Marlowe's, one of the places that you hear Dirty Jim talk about a lot, which is an awesome place. And I'm in line, and I look over, and I see this older, not real old, but like older than me, let's say, white guy sitting there. And I look over, and he starts ramming the back of this woman's car. And boom,
I'm glad you said car.
The back of the car. And I'm looking, I'm like, wow, why is that guy doing that? And he's looking forward, doesn't make a face at all. And I'm like, look what that guy's doing. And I look, and there's a black lady, and she's going, what are you doing? And he keeps bumping her like he's trying to get her attention. So I took my phone out, and I started recording. I'm like, and I said, Marion, roll your window down. And she rolls the window down. And I'm like, hey, buddy, why are you hitting her car? Because I wanted to see why he was doing it and maybe get on a camera if he's going to raise hell at her. And he doesn't even look at me. He doesn't look at all. The woman gets out of her car. She walks to the back. And she's like, hey, why are you hitting my car? And he's still hitting her car and just looking forward and not saying a word. And I'm like, oh, my God, that is so racist. That's so horrible. Why is he doing that? You know, I'm jumping to some great conclusion. Hard, stupid thing, Russ. And I'm filming. I'm like, hey, buddy, why are you hitting her car? His hands are on the steering wheel. He won't look at me. He's not talking to her.
Is this at a light?
This is on 1792, right on 1792. The woman looked like she was a nurse. Her friend, another black lady in the car was a nurse. He stops putting on the gas. You know, he stops doing it. He's just staring. And so her, the back of her car is dented in, and she gets in her car, and she's like she's like getting ready to cry. She doesn't know what to do, right?
It's crazy.
So, and I'm like, look, I'm helping this woman. I got her, so I'm filming it, right? So I got her, I got the guy's tag number, and I follow her, and I wave her down, and I actually had to get out of my car to go around. I said, ma'am, I saw what happened, just so you know, and I videotaped it, and I also have it on, I have his license plate on my video. And she's like, oh God, thank you so much. I don't know what, he didn't even tell me why he was hitting me. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, ma'am. I look over, and there's the same guy, and he's going down 1792, and he's up on the curb, and he hits one of the posts.
Like a light pole.
And then he runs over another thing. I think it was like a bench. And I'm like, oh ma'am. My wife, who's a paramedic, said, Russ, he's having a stroke. Or a diabetic problem.
Diabetic shock thing.
He wasn't doing that on purpose. I'm like, oh, wow, that's different. I'm like, okay.
Diabetes doesn't like black people.
right. I jumped right to the guy was racist, which was so bad of me, which was so, so bad. Yeah. But he just looked like it was a racist old man that was hitting this black lady's car. And it was the...
You know, Code Black had to deal with this, man.
It was the worst jump I could have made. It was so stupid. So I said, well, ma'am, I said, let's see what he's doing, and I'll give you the tag if we need it. I said, but I didn't want you to know I got your back. And she's like, okay, thank you, sir. So I get my car, and I go, and he... By the time we got down 1792, he had wrecked into the wall over by what used to be P.F. Chang's or whatever. You know, well, it's still P.F. Chang's, right?
Yeah.
He had wrecked into that wall, and he was just sitting there. And there was a man that was trying to get him out of the car, and his hands were just on the steering wheel, and they couldn't move him.
Yep.
And my wife said he's probably having a stroke, or it could be a diabetic, you know, some sort of a diabetic coma or whatever.
Like a shock thing, yeah.
That's crazy.
It must be that stretch of road, because Code Black had the same exact thing happen to him. He was waiting to turn, and a guy coming down the road the opposite way, coming toward him, had a stroke. And started just veering and pinballing off cars all through traffic. Wound up hitting him.
That's what he's doing.
Tearing him up pretty good. Then just veered off into a parking lot. And then when he stopped, he had his, like, just like Russ was saying, his all clenched up. And then he got out and started picking up car parts that he had left because he didn't remember anything.
He didn't know what he was doing.
Like, he was dragging his bumper, and people are like, sir, and he had no idea.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy.
That's exactly what happened yesterday. And, of course, the woman that he was hitting, she followed, and she saw what was going on, and she kind of waved me like, oh, thank you. And I said, okay, I guess you're good. You don't need... So I just deleted everything because I didn't...
Oh, you should have kept it still.
You know what the best part of that is?
What?
Insurance won't cover it.
Really?
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
Why won't insurance cover it?
It is a weird... Well, let me say, you have to have a very good attorney that knows about how that rolls. He hired Glenn, and you know, things turned out, but because Glenn knew how to kind of move around it. But apparently an act of God while you're driving, death, heart attack, or whatever, you don't... Like, it doesn't adhere to the same rules as if you'd just gotten into a wreck.
Even if this woman was hit from behind, because, I mean, he dented her car pretty well. She was hit from behind.
Check this out. Even if there's a previous condition and you've been medicated for it and it hasn't happened in a while,
yeah,
still no go. Wow. You're kind of screwed. It's pretty blanked up.
I was mad at myself afterwards for automatically jumping to the conclusion that it was some racist old man hitting the black woman's car. I'm like, why did I think that right away?
But he had just, like a 50-50 shot.
He just looked like a mean old, like the look on his face, and he looked like he was doing it on purpose, and he kept hitting her car.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, you can assume that, sure.
And I'm like, why are you doing that? And he wouldn't look at me at all. And
I'm very racist, and this is what I like doing on Wednesday afternoon.
That was such a bad assumption on my part. I don't know.
Why is it a bad assumption?
It wasn't the fact, and I assumed something that was the worst case scenario, when really I didn't even think about the fact that he could been going through some, you know, diabetic phase or whatever, stroke.
Medical episode.
You know, I assume, you're hitting that black lady's car on purpose. That was so bad of me. I mean, I felt like I wanted to, like, you know, for white people, I want to show you that we're not all mean. I'm going to help you out, lady.
I've seen Black Panther twice.
I had a friend that was black a long time ago.
Ma'am, I just want you and your lovely nurse black friend here to know I appreciate your service, and I love Black Panther.
I love black people. That's I want to show you that all white people aren't bad. And I jumped out of my car, and Mary was like, what are you doing? I said, I want to help her. That was wrong, and I don't like it. And
don't worry. I've seen Black Panther twice.
Yeah.
You've run.
of the week. Watched too many superhero movies, dude.
Well, I felt like I did the right thing, but here's the thing, man. Then I saw that guy, and he was clenched on the steering wheel and just looking forward, and there were people trying to get him out of pull him out of the car because they didn't know what's going on anything, and he wasn't going. He was just right there.
Damn.
Yeah, so
brain is a crazy thing, man. I always say it, man. We're just walking around. We have so many things that can go wrong with us. For a little tiny thing, man, he didn't have sugar. Who the hell knows what really happened? But
I had pulled up beside him, and I was sitting, and I looked over, and I saw him, and I'm like, oh, there's a guy sitting there, whatever. And then out of nowhere, he hits the gas and bumps this woman's car like he wanted her to go. And I'm like, that is, look at
you
that.
You ain't about that superhero life. If you were really about that superhero life, you would throw in your car right in front of that.
You would have saved
it. Well, I was right beside it.
Exactly. You can still run up against it.
I got my dumb ass out on 1792.
Exactly.
Crazy traffic.
That is ridiculous.
Get back in the car. I'm like, no, I want this lady to know that I got her back.
Dude, that stretch of 1792 from Winter Park up to
insane.
Virginia or whatever, that stretch of road, there must be 4 head-on collisions a day in that area.
Easily.
Because Sean, Koblack works right there, right by Marlowe's. He has seen, if you go in his Facebook feed and you look back, he has seen 5 in the last 2 years of the worst car accidents I've ever seen. Because what happens is this, that turning lane is wide.
It's huge, and people think it's a lane.
That middle lane is so wide. So what will happen is dudes will, because the way you have to turn left there, they'll get in that turning lane, like Angel's saying, like a quarter of a mile down the road and just drive down it like it's 40 miles an hour, like it's another lane. And then inevitably somebody goes in the lane to do what you're supposed to do, which is turn, and then bam.
I almost had an accident right where you're talking about, where there's a vehicle, a delivery vehicle, and they're using it as a lane.
Yeah.
They're passing me. The brake in the painted line comes up, and I'm going to merge to do my turn.
Yeah.
And I'm literally, the truck is like on top of me, slamming the brakes and honking, and he was passing me. Damn. And that center lane, like Jimmy says, is crazy too wide.
I wonder how many times that happens where somebody has either a diabetic seizure or maybe a
10
aneurysm.
Times a day.
Oh, I bet it happens more often than you think.
Yeah. That's the first I'd ever seen it, and it was...
In particular, in that part of town, too, with Winter Park and all that, because of one reason and one reason alone.
What?
Too many old people.
Yeah, the high propensity to rich old white people.
Could be.
Yeah.
All right, I got a bunch of other stories to tell you. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. That's a true one, though.
At Real Radio 104.1 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. From
By the way, I don't know if I've mentioned that you can text the show. I see that everyone's already figured it out because we're getting a ton of texts. But you can text our show 77031. That's 77031. You can text our show, and we will text you back. I was texting some people back during the break, and a lot of people are texting. The story I just told. True story, by the way. I was leaving the dentist, Dr. Zach Hodgins, which is one of our great clients, going past Marlowe's, which is another one of our great clients. And it was on 1792. I look over, and there's a guy, older guy, and he's ramming the back of this woman's car. And just first, I'm telling you my first reaction, though I'm not proud of it. The first thing I thought was, look at that guy. He's hitting the back of that woman's car. It's a black woman. I thought he, for some reason, it came into my mind he was being racist. And someone asked the question, well, what if he was hitting a white woman's car? What would you have thought? And then I would have thought he's just being a grumpy old man, So I assumed right away, which was stupid on my part. But it was one of those things where when it's happening, I'm just telling you my initial reaction. So I wanted to videotape it to make sure that, she was covered. And I also got the tag number on the video, and I was going to give her the video so she could have it for whatever evidence she needed.
Right.
A lot of people are saying, though, why didn't you call the police? Why didn't you call the police? Why didn't you call the police? Do you know why? Because I didn't want to be tied up for 3 hours. That's exactly why.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, I want to help, but I don't want to be here forever. If I can quickly help, cool, but I don't want to be tied up for 3 hours with paperwork and la-di-da and all that kind of crap.
That's almost worse than your original thought.
Hey, listen, I'm just telling you the honest truth, man. And I want to help a little bit here.
I want to help under my conditions, and if it involves me having to file an official police report,
I ain't got time for
I'm
all
not
that.
Interested.
Right. I don't got time for that mess.
Weren't you literally yelling at the lady, I got your back.
I did have
I got
back.
The video. I'm here for you.
I was going to give her the video and say, here you go. go. You got to take care of
this. Coming from the guy.
No, she didn't need it. No, she
I didn't want to be tied up. I didn't want to do all this. From the guy who desperately looking for stuff to do every afternoon because he has nothing to do.
No, I got stuff to do now. Now that I'm doing this comic book thing, it takes a lot of time.
Jesus. You've been doing that for 2 days, dude.
I know. I've had 2 days of a lot of work to go
Holy
on.
Holy crap.
I worked last night till like 9 o'clock, which for me is...
What?
Yeah. It's, I mean,
oh,
study.
My God. I didn't even know that number was on the clock.
I got home at 3, I think, after the dentist, after my big experience on 1792, and I was writing from 3 until 9, and I've only got like a couple pages done. It's a lot. Man, that's a lot of work doing a comic book. But anyway, so I've been busy with that. What were some of the other questions? Just people wanting to know why he didn't call the police, and with stuff like that, I mean, you know, you'd be caught up forever if you file a report and all that kind of stuff. So, I don't know why the first thing I thought was the guy was
Winter
being
Park
racist.
PD, if you're looking for witnesses that might have noticed this event on 1792 with a guy ramming his car into the P.F. Chang's wall that they just redid, don't come hollering at Russ. Mm.
They caught him. They already got the guy.
They could use probably other character witnesses. I don't know.
And by caught,
your
he
civic
means,
duty.
And by caught means took him to the hospital.
Yeah,
they probably did take him to the hospital, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm guessing they did, probably. I mean, unless he was blanked up on drugs.
No. He didn't look like it. And he just stared straight. He didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't talk. He didn't say anything. He was just. It was like he was in a trance.
Meth will do that to you.
Nah, he didn't look like a meth
hole.
He's in a K hole. Yeah.
I don't think it was that either, man.
No.
Yeah. But I mean, in order for you to call the police, you got to be willing to donate some time. Don't you know?
I don't know. I think maybe it would just be a report.
Yeah.
But I don't really know. I don't know what, because it didn't happen to you. So I don't really know. It could be a quick thing like this. Hey, man, I was in traffic. I saw this guy barefist knuckling this steering wheel and bumping into this lady. I started videotaping because I thought something was wrong. Then he was glancing off other stuff. It looked like he had a stroke.
Now, if the
that happened at 3:31,
they would have taken your name and number and said, "If we need any more, we'll call you."
If the police were there, I would have spoken to them, but I wasn't gonna be the one that called the police, wait for them to come down. To, you know, like it's like, come on, now we're getting into,
you know. We understand.
I'm not a superhero.
Right.
Whatever, dude. You're trying to play one.
Panels don't write themselves.
Panels don't write themselves. They don't draw themselves, Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh,
that's right. So anyway, that was my exciting day. What did you guys have? You know, why is it that kind of stuff? Like, I'm a magnet for that kind of weirdo stuff that happens. You know, like
I wonder what that is.
Huh? I don't know. I was just sitting in traffic, and then there it happens. Anything exciting happened in your life, Jimmy?
Actually, there's a new character coming up in the Chinese Boner Pill series.
Chinese.
It's the superhero is a cell phone man that records stuff.
Yeah. World star man.
And jumps out in the middle of 1792 like a moron.
Nah, man, I didn't really, I did a Primetime Kitchen yesterday. We had a great show. Taverna Opa's on the show this week, so you can come in and Velisis. Taverna Opa, Greek restaurant, very famous Greek restaurant here in Central Florida.
Oh, is that the one where they dance on the tables and stuff?
They do dance on the tables.
I was just telling my girl yesterday, I want to go there. I've never been. I heard it's badass.
They waste so many napkins there.
It is amazing.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
The food is amazing. It really is good. You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, with the World Food Fest coming in town, we talked a little bit about, you know, what do you do to win over Americans who have kind of solidified their palate into the mac and cheese steak world?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you get them to try something different? And he's got some interesting things to say about that in a great path in life. I mean, when you hear how we grew up in America as opposed to how people grew up in Europe and how they kind of find their way around the world, they're so much more broad than we are. I mean, their mindset from children is considerably different than ours, and it's very interesting to hear that. We talked to them about that this week.
So the gimmick there is that they've got belly dancers that dance on the table.
Well, the gimmick there is that the food is insane, and then, of course, part of the Greek culture there is that you do the opa, which is, you know, you'll learn the definition of that word as well, and then they dance on the table. He tells a great story about a woman who came in, and there's something very special about her, and she wanted to do this in her life, and it's kind of neat. I mean, it just shows you there really are no boundaries.
Yeah. Well, cool.
So we did that, and then went home and kind of hung out, and I drew some panels till about 10:30, you know?
People are asking why I didn't call Crime Line for that particular situation. That's not a Crime Line situation.
That's not a Crime Line situation.
No, you don't want to bother Crime Line.
I think I was being sarcastic.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't want to bother them for that. I mean, that's, you know. What about you, Angel? Anything big happening?
Hell yeah. I was out there in D-Land, stomping it up there. I hung out with some friends over there at Persimmon Hollow. Got some cool things happening with them.
I was about to ask if you rolled by there.
So, D-Land is a really cool area.
D-Land is hopping, but it's fascinating. Okay, so I've been to Mount Dora.
You don't think that it's cool, but it's cool.
Last couple weeks, I've been out in Mount Dora, DeLand, been out in that area, and that's all like more authentic Florida than Orlando is right now, just with the growth of it and everything.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to watch. So one of the side streets in DeLand's downtown area shut down, and people are losing their mind. And I'm like, I'm on I-4.
Yeah.
That's a ping pong game any day of the week.
Wait, it's a mess.
And this one section of road is closed, and people are like, you know, throwing birds out and everything. So it made me giggle.
Yeah,
yeah, but it was fun. I had a good time out there.
It reminds me of what I thought Mayberry was like. You know, the downtown DeLand area.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's just you see the bank on the corner, and then there's the record shop over there.
And then, after I had to do the meeting and everything, I took the little one with me. She was with me. We went to their pretty well known New York style pizza shop there, and you know, you could tell all the locals that were there. You know, like this is their meal. Yeah, you know, so it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I got a good time out there.
That's a great little thing.
So, could any of you guys decide to? Okay, you know what? I'm going to have a simpler way of life. I'm going to move into like little downtown DeLand, or I'm going to move into my little Mount Dora, or one of these little cities that are kind of all to themselves. You could stay there. You would never have to come to Orlando if you didn't really, really want to. Could you move to one of those smaller areas?
I totally have a romantic view of it right now.
Yeah.
Just because I said I have a friend of mine out there who's got a horse ranch, and he's training horses out there in Mount Dora. So my perspective right now today, if I could find a really cool house and some land on there, I think I could do that for a year.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let me just weigh in here for a second.
Oh, we know Grandpa can move there. I mean,
so I'm from one of those places.
Yeah.
And I left for a reason. Because I will tell you, it is really fun for a short period of time. And then when you can't go to Bed Bath & Beyond, or you can't just drive around the corner and eat four different continents of food, or you can't just roll, everything is you got to go 40 miles to get it.
Yeah.
The allure wears off quickly.
But you think as you're getting older, though, that you could...
I guess it's definitely a lifestyle choice. I mean, you really
I don't know that you're dying to go to Bed Bath & Beyond now
these days. But what I'm saying is just any store that you can't get in a small town. I mean, you think about it. If you're in DeLand and you need to get something that doesn't require a DeLand-type store, you have to drive to Orlando or Daytona. And really, to be honest with you, maybe not even Daytona. Really more like Orlando. That's 40 minutes.
And those are the old days. But actually, Jimmy, if you think about it, you don't have to drive anywhere. You can go to Amazon and they can bring it right to you.
Surely, you would
never have to leave DeLand.
But the idea of shopping, the idea of getting out after a while, a year of living in a city with 3,000 or 4,000 or 6,000 people, I mean, there really is, you get into a routine/rut and you find yourself going, wow, man, you know, I mean, I guess this is what I wanted. I mean, if you had a real busy life and you wanted to hit a wall,
yeah,
that's kind of what it is. Now, if you get in there and start doing civic stuff, like, you know, join certain clubs in the city to kind of beautify and help the city.
I'm going to run for county commissioner.
Yeah, whatever the case may be. I mean, it could be the Parks and Rec guy. Yeah.
Russ is going to run for local superhero.
Yep.
Shut up. I think one video.
that you're not going to use.
Well, no, she didn't need it. She's like, I don't need it now.
Did you get the release?
No. And she could have called the police. As far as calling the police, I think she was on the phone doing it when I went over and talked to her. Anything exciting yesterday?
Yeah, I lived in DeLand for a while. I lived in DeLand for like 7 months, and I loved it. And I think it's a good mix of being just far out enough to where you can feel a little isolated, and then connected
to
Orange City and Daytona and overall, the people there are really cool. But no, I don't think I could live out there all the time.
No.
But it's definitely a lifestyle. And I enjoyed it while I was there. But
think about people. And let's say you're in one of those little towns as you're driving through Georgia. And there's those little towns out there. They're born there and they live there their entire life.
Yeah, no, and I do think about that when I'm driving through like Tifton, Georgia or something like that, when I'm just like, where the hell is this place in the middle off of an expressway? But no, I was finishing up. I'm producing some videos for some bands and directing some videos for them. So,
oh, cool.
I was working on that at kind of final stages of editing with them, and so worked on that. And then,
what kind of music?
They play pop. Yeah, it's a pop band. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, they're really good. Yeah, they're really good. They tour all kind of around here and producing a couple videos for them for some upcoming agents and showcases and stuff like that. Kind of transferred over doing photography to more video as to kind of what I started doing, really.
Yeah, well, that's really where, when you were a kid, when we met you, that was what you really loved at first was video and all that, yeah.
Yep. So I did that and then obviously picked up the daughter and worked on my path. worked on my little stone pebble path.
Oh, and you're still at that.
Still at the
path. Oh yeah, because what happened was did not hear. Well, hold on. Now, let me make sure everybody understands. This is the path that he worked his ass off on, and then his either wife or your friend Lauren who's awesome by the way, walked in and questioned whether or not you could even pull that off.
Exactly,
which was a slap to your man face
from the back of her hand slap. And just left and picked out the little weeds and I just every day I kind of drive by the home store, like, you know, I'm not gonna give them a shout out because they don't give me a damn discount.
They're not cutting you right.
And so every day I'll stop by, I'll get like a little $20 here, $15 there, buy another little stuff. So I'm not buying all this stuff at once, you know, and just kind of adding here. And I chopped down a bunch of branches. I'm like George W. Bush. I love cutting down brush.
Yeah. Do you have a special tool? You do a
Ryobi. Saw, and I got one for the tree.
I don't have the chainsaw yet.
Oh, dude, it's awesome.
Do you need one?
Not really, but it would go with the set.
That means you got to have two.
It would go with the set.
Yeah, because you don't have. I have a bunch of trees that I needed to kind of really clean up.
I don't have one thing I could use a chainsaw for that I think of. I got the trimmer, the, you know, head trimmer.
That
thing's badass. It'll do it all. But it's funny. I know that, you know, when I was younger and I bought a house, I wasn't that really, I didn't really care that much about what the outside looked like. I'm like, let's cut the grass real quick so I can get inside. Now, you know, for whatever reason, take a little bit more pride about how it looks on the outside.
Well, my wife does a really good job on the inside, and I never did anything on the outside.
Right.
And so she kind of inspired me because I was like, well, she's doing a hell of a job on the inside, and the outside is just kind of plain and... That's kind of more my deal. So little by little, man, I think it's a lot of fun. And here's the thing, instant gratification.
Yeah.
Very few times in life now.
Right.
Do you get a physical instant gratification, not a digital one or a mental one or whatever. It's like literally like I bought these rocks, I poured these rocks here, and that looks good now.
Right.
So just doing that, you know, had a good day.
Well, tonight's going to be a great night because tonight's the Monster Comic of the Year competition. It's round three, and yesterday we got to hang out with Vince Taylor, who's in the competition, Mike Charette, Timmy Time, we got Ryan Holm, and Mark Crispo.
If it Crespo. Had an I in there,
No.
It's Crespo. It would actually hurt you because you keep saying Crispo.
Oh, yeah. I think crispy is what it is. I'm going to spell it like Crest downtown.
There you go.
There you go. I got it.
Throw all those big old capital letters.
Anyway, tonight.
Russ writes like a KISS program.
I do. It's tonight. It's a Monster Comic Gear competition at the Abbey. Always a lot of fun. I'm going to judge. Dirty Jim will be a judge. Savannah's going to be a judge. And look.
Jimmy, you got big shoes to fill. Moira crushed it.
Oh, God.
That's cool.
Moira was really funny. I didn't realize how funny she was.
She was writing notes. I agree.
She's been funny for years, guys. She's awesome.
I was sitting there like and just had jokes, and she did a great job. It was
does not shock me in the least.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect, to be perfectly honest. I don't know. She definitely was really good. Yeah, and she had a great time. It was fun to see somebody who hadn't seen the show and enjoy it fresh eyes and everything.
So excited about tonight. Tickets are available. Just go to monsters.fm to get your tickets, and I would get VIP tickets if you could. All right, you're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. From Radio. Is Ready Player One, is it this weekend?
It was dropped last night, actually.
Oh, last night was the night I saw.
Yeah, reviews are through the roof.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People that I trust with their observations or their opinions of the movies, they were...
Same type of entertainment that you like.
Yeah, and they were digging it, so...
Good.
Had a couple people text in and say the movie also was awesome earlier in the 6 o'clock hour, but they did mention that they didn't... follow everything through the book, but that's to be expected because of, you know, you kind of have to
make a movie,
weird. I hear people talking about how crushed this thing is going to be, but for some reason I don't have that vibe that I feel like when you feel something very special. There's no question you can feel Black Panther was going to be a special movie.
Yes.
There are movies you can like, well, you can just kind of the vibe around the movie with other people. You're like, man, this thing is like driving people to see it multiple times. I mean, people are going back and back. And for some reason, this I know it's supposed to be great,
it's
but
it's not a franchise. It's not a franchise.
Maybe that's what it is, Lois, because I saw the spot for it and it looked amazing. But
yeah,
again, I don't know what it is. I just don't feel like it. People are saying it's going to beat back Black Panther. I'm like, well, people have been talking about Black Panther for like 3 straight months now.
Yeah.
Before, during, and after the release.
It's almost not fair to, in the sense of this. Let's put it this way. You got to also keep in context, Black Panther is part of a huge franchise. So
sure.
You've had this, you know, you have this Marvel universe and all of this, it fits into that universe, and you've had this build up to this movie. Whereas Ready Player One is a sci-fi movie, and I think the reason the way that they promoted it, they could have gone crazy heavy and showed you all, because there's a ton of 80s reference. I mean, ton. It's saturated with that.
So you're tapping into what people remember with video games from their childhood. So you're hitting.
And you got to be careful how you market that, because if you haven't read the book and you don't know the history of it, you could visually just look at this and go, they're just trying to rip off. Yeah, they're just trying to rip off the 80s. And so you have to be super careful how you, I think that was why it's done that way. The promos all been about a minute and 30 seconds, all the teaser trailers and everything, because of, I think, that reason alone.
And a lot
of the references are all Spielberger's stuff, and you could be like, oh, he's just ripping off his own stuff.
It's right. Kind of weird, though, because, I mean, you know, it talks about video games from the 80s. Well, those things have been long forgotten, no different than, like, Artisan stuff. Like, we were watching TV the other night, flipping through, looking for something, and our son was there, who's 23.
Right.
And as we're sitting there talking to him and rolling through, and we're like, and I made a comment because I saw Ted Nugent, so it was a TV show. I was like, oh my God, Nugent's going crazy. And my wife laughed, and my son said, who's Ted Nugent?
No clue. Yeah,
well,
that's really more 70s, I think. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 70s and 80s guys are still making music in the 80s, but I mean, still a pop culture kind of.
See, I wouldn't consider him pop culture.
Really?
I would not consider him pop culture. He's like a rock and roll. Like I think pop culture's in a different realm when you're talking video games and
Q-Berts
and things. Because, like, I didn't know really Ted Nugent till he sat here.
Yeah.
And I use him as a time of when I didn't know what the hell I knew, right? In the sense of like, I was 20 years old, I think, when he first came in here.
Yeah.
And Angel, he's one of the most intimidating guys you'll ever meet. He walked in, he's giant, he had guns, he had knives.
He don't give a damn.
And he sat down and he started just saying how he feels, like he always does. At that point in time in my life, I didn't know how I felt. I didn't know where I kind of stood. I was just turned 19, 20. And so I remember that point in time as being very, very easily swayed, I guess.
I remember this is what killed me. And one of the first things I remember about Carlos was he did not know who Led Zeppelin was. And I was blown away that he had never heard of it. Led Zeppelin at 19 years old or Van Halen. And I was like, you're kidding. Like, there's no way. And you're like, I don't know who you're talking about.
Think about that in the sense of how, you know, we think about this, you know, the world is huge.
Yeah.
At 20 years old and stuff that we take for granted.
Yes.
Well, how do you not know that? But now, because of the advent of the
internet
and all those things, like, the world's even become smaller.
Yeah.
No, I think the world's bigger for people. I think people, well, no, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. And when people that are 20 know a lot more things.
Think about it. Him at 20, the world was so huge.
Yeah.
Didn't know Van Halen, Ted Nugent.
Yeah. That's definitely, that was a person.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he said, who's that? I said, what do you mean, who's that?
And today, you know, you could be a 20-year-old kid. You hear us talking about Led Zeppelin. Like, well, I don't know who that is. And you go to a computer,
and
type
it
in, and then you find all the history of Led Zeppelin in about 5 minutes.
Or even, yeah, agreed. And even simpler, just like there weren't, like, if you had a Led Zeppelin shirt on in the 90s, it was from the concert that you wore that. Now you buy it at Target. Hot Topic. It's the pop culture is everywhere. And real quick to the Ted Nugent thing, that's one time I remember, I agreed with everything he said.
Oh.
And it was everything. I don't believe it now, but, like, I just remember he
said it
so,
with such conviction.
He did, and everybody in these rooms just sat there and said, yeah. And,
well, because he pulls a knife out and puts it on the table, and he's just like, I'm Ted Nugent.
A gun.
Oh, he put a gun out, that's right.
He had a gun.
But
he
put his knives out, too.
Yeah, but I asked him if he was packing, because, I mean, the guy talks about having all the time, and he looks at me and laughs and reaches down to his boot.
Yeah.
And pulls out a 9 or a 40 cal and racks the round out of the chamber and sets it on the table, and then pulls out like an 8.5-inch razor sharp buck knife.
I will tell you that Ted Nugent is an example of a guy that I probably agree with maybe half of what he said, but I really enjoyed meeting him and talking to him because he's a
fascinating guy.
He's fascinating as hell, and he believes everything. And at the time, he had just gotten sick from black mold in his house.
Yeah.
So there was something going on where he needed
orange juice
orange,
or something?
He was eating an orange. He kept eating orange.
He needed orange. Yeah,
he
had to give him a black
orange like in there. But I just remember that being like, I give kind of, I understand a little bit when people are younger or maybe just have never
impressionable,
heard it.
Yeah, yeah.
Impressionable is the exact word I was looking for. And then after that, I remember looking at him like, oh God, I disagree with almost everything this guy does. But at that point in time, he was so powerful. He was very, very powerful speaker too, you know? So I don't know. I don't even know how the hell we got on that.
He brought up Ted Nugent because we were flipping through the TV channel and his son didn't know
who he was one of the first guys to come out as a rock and roll star, like legit, badass, respected rock and roll star and be straight edge. He was anti-drugs, anti-alcohol. He was one of the first guys to ever be outward about that I remember, who you looked at and go, whoa, Ted's straight edge? Holy S. I figured that guy would be a whiskey-swilling, coke-banging monster every single day. Turns out, not even close to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just crazy, so.
Yeah, just crazy. I mean, just kind of into what he's into, you know?
I do remember now. Pop culture, Ready Player One. I'm a giant Spielberg fan. I know what you're saying, Jimmy. There isn't... it's been talked about. It's definitely been talked about, but it doesn't have a franchise moniker. Maybe part two, if there is a part two. I don't know. I'm guessing it will be if it's really popular.
There was a second book.
Oh, okay.
So if they're looking for source material, or if they want to take it in a different direction.
When,
you know?
When was that book written?
I don't know.
Was it a while ago?
Not that long ago.
Had to have been the mid-90s or late 90s.
I wonder if the popularity of Stranger Things kind of motivated Spielberg to turn that into a movie because of how popular that show was and that retro feel with the retro 80s and the real heavy synthetic Moog type keyboard intros to those shows, which has been mocked now like three times on other TV shows.
Ready Player One came out in 2011.
And the book came out in 2011. I'm telling you.
And it was a new bestseller. It's on the bestseller list and everything.
Wow. So I wonder how long that project's been in the works, though, because Carlos will tell you, I mean, a movie takes years to make sometimes, and sometimes it's pitch for decades before it gets made.
I'll tell you the reason.
I wonder if Stranger Things had something to do with that.
I'll tell you the reason that it took so long to get it done, because the only person that could do this movie was Spielberg. Because, again, so many of the references, and you've seen some of the imagery there. If he doesn't sign off on this on one way, shape, or form...
Then you can't do half the movie.
Yeah, whether it was just the licensing or have him direct it, you couldn't have... You couldn't have made the movie.
I don't know why, but the trailers have not grabbed me. And look, I love nostalgia. I grew up in the 80s. You would think it would be something that would have already grabbed me, but I'm not feeling like running out and seeing it this weekend.
I think it's going to be one of those sneaky good movies.
It might be, yeah.
And then you're going to see it. And because of everything that's going on right now, with social media and the eyesets and everything, virtual reality and everything. All of that, and then you watch this, you're like, wow, we're not that far off.
Right. Yeah. Very good. All right, well, it comes out this weekend. Tonight, it is the Monster Comic of the Year competition. You want to join us tonight at the Abbey. Tickets are available, and it's going to be a great time. So join us tonight. I'd get in the VIP. It's the Hard Rock. Hard Rock Orlando VIP area where they have, food and you get a couple Bud Lights, and it's really, really great. So it'll be tonight. We'll see you guys there for sure. In a couple minutes, your chance to win $1,000. How do you win $1,000? It's easy, man. When you hear the word and you hear a keyword, you just text that word to 200-200, and then they might call you back in about an hour. When they call you back in about an hour, make sure you answer the phone. It's the only way to win the money. We'll do some trivia when we come back, so you might want to get on the line. All right? You're listening to the Match of the Morning.
$1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. From Real Radio. Real Radio. 104.1.
All rise. All rise. All rise.
Triple R in the house now.
Check out our website, monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. There's all kinds of cool stuff. Everything you want to find out about the Monsters is on the website. And you can get a link to our YouTube channel. There's links to stuff that Dirty Jim's doing, stuff that Angel's doing, and Carlos, myself, all linked into monsters.fm. So you go there. It's got the it's the home base for everything. So go check it out. That's monsters.fm. And a big thing tonight is the Monster Comic of the Year competition. It is round three. It's the last round before the finals, so we're going to find out who else is going to be in the finals. You know, we've already got, we know for sure James John will be in the finals. We know for sure Tony Black will be in the finals.
Yep.
One of the five competing tonight will be in the finals, and we'll crown a new Monster Comic of the Year. So far, we've crowned people like Ross Pageant, Miguel Colon, and Devin Siebold Monster Comic of the Year. Who will be next? Who will have that crown next? Who gets that $1,000? Who gets to come in once a week and be on the show? We'll find out in the next couple weeks, and you can be a part of it tonight because you the listeners that show up, you guys vote. The very first round, you guys were the ones that decided Tony Black. All the judges, we all we split. We went different ways, and the audience is the one that made that decision. So you can do the same thing tonight. So the audience is important. You text your vote. And we're able to tabulate those votes up on stage, and then it's a really cool way of doing it. I love that aspect of it, you know, that people can people that are there can text and be a part of the votes because you know it's hard for us sometimes to come up with a decision because it's really close. A lot of these comics are so good that it is really really close. So so yeah, you can be a part of it tonight.
Yeah, this is the night to head out, man. Head out and check out these guys. I hear. This next guy who's coming in today is supposed to be just a crusher.
Marcus
as well.
Crespo.
Attaboy.
There you go. I'd write it with a
K.
K-R-E-S, like Crest Downtown Orlando. But anyway, yeah.
Steaks are good.
It's going to be tonight. Angel, let's find out what prizes are in the prize pinata.
The poor guy's going to come in here and Russ is going to grill him about steaks.
Yeah. So how are your steaks? I'm a comic, Russ. Yeah, but about the steaks, can you bring one and I will vote for you?
That's good. That's true.
Never heard the last name Crispy.
I will.
I'm easily bribed. Meat.
Very easily bribed.
Flipped him in a total of 4 seconds.
Uh-huh. Bring me your finest meats and cheeses.
And you're in.
I'd love a timeshare.
The prize we got. The prize we got is brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage. It's a family-owned and operated company. They offer both residential and commercial moving services for businesses all over the country. It's a fully trained expert moving crew, adept in packing, furniture handling, safe driving, and excellent customer service. Do this. Go to CentoMoving.com. CentoMoving.com. You hit the start quote button, put your information there, and then let them know that you heard about it here on Real Radio 104.1, and there's a discount for you. Let them handle your next move. Make it that much more manageable. That's CentoMoving.com.
They're very good at what they do.
Up first, we have a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Blockers. That's going down Tuesday, April the 3rd at AMC Altamont.
Yeah, that looks funny. It's with John Cena. And
is he the actual star? Is he the male lead? No, he's the male lead.
The mom, you'll recognize her from a bunch of other comedy movies. I just forgot her name. She was the one of the dates in 40-Year-Old Virgin that pukes in the car.
Oh yeah.
You've seen her in a bunch of those comedic movies.
Yeah,
and
she's married to Judd Apatow.
Yeah,
and her name is
Carrie something.
Nah, I always forget her name. Yeah, oh, but man, she's good in it.
And dude, when they say this is rated R, I'm talking like R. The red band trailer for this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they went there.
Good.
That they're going there. They went there. They're not dancing around.
They're there.
Yeah, they're all over it.
Well,
so.
I mean, the shows a big, rooster, and it's called Blocker. So do the math.
One plus one.
Got it.
Gotcha. Right. So they're touting. It's the first adult comedy of the season. So definitely check that
nice.
Out.
Nice.
We have a $50 Marlo's gift card to enjoy Marlo Springs celebration. New menu items include grilled lamb wrap, chicken melanaise, and the strawberry spring crush cocktail. Now, Marlo's has two happy hours. The first one is from 4 to 6:30 p.m., and then they have a late night happy hour from 10 p.m. to close. That's Marlo's.
Marlo's.
We have a pair of tickets to Washi's Meat Market Sunshine State Egg Fest on Saturday. April the 28th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Indian River County Fairgrounds and Expo Center in Vero Beach. The nation's top big green eggers are going to make their way to the 2018 Sunshine State Egg Fest. We're talking over 300 eggs being used by some of the most amazing cooks in the country, and they're doing everything, not just barbecue. You're going to get to see this piece of equipment used in different kinds of,
from pizza making to baking to roasting to direct grilling. It's amazing.
And the best part about it is that you get to eat all that food.
For one number. One number gets you in, then you eat all day.
Yeah. So if you are looking to get tickets, go to SunshineStateEggFest.com or call 321-242-3348. And WASI Sunshine State Egg Fest is brought to you by Melbourne BMW. We also have a family four-pack of tickets to Gatorland. Go holler at Savannah. It's spring break there. They've got a lot of stuff popping off. It's a lot of fun when she's there. All you got to do is walk on property and just listen.
Yeah, you'll hear her screaming talking to the crocodiles or something like that. Yeah,
absolutely. And those are the prizes in today's prize pinata.
All right, thank you. 407-916-1041 or toll-free. It's 1-888-978-1041. Let's see. Who want me to go with first?
How about the actress is Leslie Mann.
Thank you, guys.
There you go.
Let's see.
Thanks, texting service.
Four. There's Scott from says Central Florida. How you doing,
He's
Scott?
All over, he said.
Are you all over, Scott?
Man, I'm there. I'm centralized.
Hey, buddy, there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. Are you on your way to work? You already there? What's going on?
I am on my way to work.
On your way to work. I'm always curious what people are doing when they're listening around this time. On your way to work. Traffic sucks, doesn't it?
Actually, no. I get out early in the morning, so I don't have to deal with anybody.
Oh, so you're on your way home from work?
Oh, no, to work.
Oh, to work. Okay. All right, listen, I got a trivia question for you. If you get it right, just take whatever prize you want. And if you don't get it, one of the fellas here can help you out. It could be Angel, it could be Carlos, or Dirty Jim, okay?
Awesome.
Today's the first day of baseball. So what do you think is the highest grossing baseball movie of all time? The highest grossing baseball movie of all time.
I'm going to go with Jackie Robinson 42.
42, you know what?
Good guess, dude.
That is in second place. It made $95 million. So
wow.
You are really close, my friend. Do you want to help?
Partially shot in Sanford, Florida, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, he played there.
Yeah. You've got Dirty Jim, you've got Angel, and you got Carlos. Who do you want to help?
Well, good thing Savannah's not there, so I'm probably going to go with Angel since he's our sportsman.
Okay, good call. You got the Angel.
That's the worst logic ever.
Also a baseball historian.
First day of baseball.
You're Puerto Rican. You got to like baseball.
You got to like baseball. What is the highest grossing baseball movie of all time? He guessed 42, which was in second place. It made $95 million.
I've got to go with one of the most iconic films of all time. It's Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is... Oh, my goodness.
Not even the top 10.
Hold on.
This list is horrible.
Hold on. Let me see. Where is Field of Dreams? It's number 5. It made $64.3 million. So
that's a crying shame.
That's got to be a time released thing, right? I mean, it's because of when it was.
Yep. Maybe,
yeah, because, I mean, that movie is
That's
sparkling.
The first time I've heard the words time released used other than describing a boner pill.
Yeah, or an oxy for that matter.
Too. Me
both
too.
Delicious.
Brad, you're on Real Radio. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, man. Yeah, name the number one baseball movie of all time, the highest grossing.
Oh, man. Thinking it's the one with Brad Pitt or the one with Rosie O'Donnell.
I bet it's...
take a guess.
League of Their Own?
That is number one.
Is
very
it
good.
Really? God almighty. I figured it would be like Angels in the Outfield or something.
League of Their Own.
Thing,
let me put you on hold, sir. You are a winner.
That's amazing.
A League of Their Own. What do you think it made? So if 42...
Made 90?
42 made $95 million. What do you think A League of Their Own, and it says it starred Gina Davis and Madonna.
Oh, it didn't mention Tom Hanks in there, huh?
It does not.
Wow, really? That's amazing as well.
What do you think, how much money do you think A League of Their Own made?
I'll go $210 million.
Carlos?
I think that's high. Probably around like $149 around there.
And then Angel, take a guess?
60.
Wasn't that far off of 42. It made $107.5 million.
Yeah,
is what that made.
Where's Major League in there?
Okay, let's go down the list for you. By the way, doing this because today's the first day of baseball.
All right, okay, okay, I want you to say, because there's got to be, this one movie's got to be the best movie of all time, but okay, it's not the most profitable.
Well, it's got, well, these are the top 20 of baseball
and that's
movies.
What it's, and you're talking money-wise, right?
Yeah, this
right.
is, yeah, okay, this, gotcha, is gotcha. This is, yeah, grossing is what it says. So, number three was the Brad Pitt movie with Jonah Hill, Moneyball.
Moneyball, yeah.
That's a good movie.
That was going to yeah. be my guess, actually, but.
It made $75 million. The Rookie with Dennis Quaid.
Yep, yeah. So these are all newer films.
That made $75.6 million. Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner. Then The Benchwarmers.
By the way, Field of Dreams better than all the top four put together.
Yep. Okay, yeah, I'm going to tell you the movie. You tell me who starred in it. The Benchwarmers made $59 million.
That's David Spade, Rob Schneider, and Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John,
Heater.
Hey, yeah, Heater, right.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It made more money than Bull Durham.
Yeah, that was. They were super popular at that time when that movie came out.
Yeah,
Bull Durham.
They were hot. You're right, Carl.
Yeah.
It's the time.
Bull Durham made $50 million. That's Kevin Costner and Tim Robbins. And then number nine is Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah. Okay. So check this out in the top 10. Costner's in two of the most profitable baseball movies of all time.
And then number 10 is Major League with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, you would have thought that would have been like first, but I think it's a cult hit. I remember it being the biggest movie when I was going, like, Major League was huge.
You know, Bull Durham was really a bigger movie. When you look at the star power in the movie Bull Durham, it's pretty amazing. I mean, Susan Sarandon, Tim Robbins, James Earl Jones. Was he in Bull Durham?
No, I'm sorry, Field of Dreams, right? Wasn't he in Field of Dreams?
He was in Field of Dreams. Yeah, and then there's like three other actors in that Bull Durham movie.
Oh, Ray Liotta. Oh, that's Field of Dreams, too.
That's Field of Dreams as well, yeah.
I keep confusing those two.
Most iconic baseball movie is The Natural, though.
Well, we'll round out the top 20 when we come back. We're going to take a little break. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. What is this?
TV on the radio.
Okay. Welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins. I'm with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Today's the first day of baseball. I guess every team was supposed to play today, but one game got rained out. I forget exactly where it was.
I think it was the Reds, wasn't it?
I think it might have been. They said it had been raining for the past couple of days.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
just didn't think the field would be...
going to play Friday. And then
who's the first game to start? First game, first pitch today gets thrown out at what game?
It has to be on the East Coast.
Tampa.
Miami.
Miami Cubs.
Oh.
Miami Cubs.
And that's in about 5 hours.
The Miami Cubs.
The Miami Cubs.
Versus Cubs.
Oh, God.
Holy crap, dude.
The Miami
Sorry,
Cubs.
Bro. God dang.
Miami Cub game.
My bad.
So
bro.
They don't have any problem selling tickets to Miami, do they?
We could leave right now. Right now, we could just throw them best up, drive down there,
and coach,
knock on the gates, and we would have front row.
Yeah, we wouldn't have any problem. Hey, did you hear about that thing that happened at Dodger? I think it was Dodger Stadium.
The sewage?
Yeah, the sewage leak. Yeah.
What happened?
Sewage pipe burst. They had to call the game because sludge started pouring out into the field.
Ooh.
They had to put a drying agent down and then call the game. And Dodgers were up. They got the win.
And listen, I'm not the biggest, obviously baseball fan in the world, but to go to a game live when I went to see the Tampa Bay Rays, it's a lot of fun.
It's awesome.
It's an experience. You know, you get there and hang out and drink beer and watch what's going on, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, baseball's almost arbitrary at those games. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of part of being an American. You go to the game, you grab some peanuts and a beer, and you sit there, and you listen to the corny music being played.
I tell you,
a lot of people do though. Is they write all the stats.
The scorecard,
down.
Yeah,
the scorecard. Like
not
that is
a lot of people.
Not everybody. I saw. I was.
Those are your really.
Well, maybe it was where I was sitting.
Old. Patrons.
I think it was where I was sitting because I was sitting like right behind, and everyone around me was sitting, and I felt like I was doing something wrong because I wasn't writing everything down.
It's a tradition thing. You do it once.
Maybe you're right. I mean, at a spring training game, people who go to those games are hardcore as hell.
No, this was an actual game I went to, and I was sitting behind the, behind the picture.
I will tell you this. One of the things, the biggest change or a perspective change that I ever had with professional sports was living in a city that had a professional baseball team.
Mm.
So when I went to college in Pittsburgh, I'd watched baseball on TV. I was a casual fan at best, but I always thought the game was slow. And when you actually go to a baseball game and see everything that goes on, baseball is one of the few sports that TV doesn't help it.
Yeah,
you're right.
And if anything, TV actually makes it look a lot slower or a lot more methodical than what it really is.
I would agree.
Because going to a game and you watch like the shifts that happen and the strategy that goes on and everything, that going to those Pirates games completely changed my outlook on professional baseball.
For me, going down to that Tampa Bay Rays game, it changed it for me too, because it is more exciting to see it live, and there's a lot more to it than you can see on television.
Dude, were you in Pittsburgh when Bonds was playing there?
Bobby Bowe, Bonds, Andy Van Slyke, all those cats. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Dude, that's awesome, man. Good for you.
Let me round out the top 20 for those the movies. These are the movies that made the highest grossing movies, and I gave you the top 10. It was League of Your Own, number one, 42, Moneyball, The Rookie, Field of Dreams, The Benchwarmers, Rookie of the Year, Bull Durham, Angels in the Outfield, and Major League. So that was up to number 10. Number nine is The Natural. And that's Glenn Close and Robert Redford.
Yeah, it's a brilliant movie.
That was a great movie.
The music that they used for that was one of those scores that I was like, when every time I hear that dun dun.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
That can be redone. I think that can be redone.
You can modernize that.
You could absolutely modernize that in a totally social media, like a viral way. I think it can be done.
Okay, I'll tell you the movie. See if you can tell me who starred in it. Okay, these are baseball movies. Fever Pitch is number 12.
Jimmy Fallon, Drew Barrymore.
Very nice. Yes, that was it.
Wow.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon, Drew Barrymore.
You should feel bad about knowing that.
$42 million.
That's where Jimmy Fallon met his wife.
Is it really?
I think it's Drew Barrymore's best friend.
I'll be damned.
Oh, wow.
I think. I'm not sure. I could be totally making this up.
Sounds good. I bought it.
You're very convincing.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Number 13 on the list. I want to see who knows who starred in this. Okay? It made $40 million. Hardball.
Hardball was with,
Big Star.
Yeah, why am I missing this? I know this movie.
Wesley Snipes.
Incorrect.
Hardball starred...
Is it a comedy?
I don't know, buddy.
I don't know. I don't know, but I know. I doubt it. If he's the star, it couldn't be a comedy if he's the star.
Okay.
Damn. Oh, so it's got to be somebody like Tommy Lee Jones.
Younger. You got the last guess.
I got the last
Hardball.
Guess. God, I know I've seen this. I know I've heard the name. Younger than Tommy Lee Jones.
That's a huge window. Yeah.
Was he an FBI agent?
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Keanu did a baseball movie?
I've never even heard of it. It made $40 million. Okay, number 14 on the list, $1 Million Arm.
Oh, yeah. That is starring, it was a girl.
No.
Is it Amy Adams?
It is not.
Or somebody like that, because she was a scout.
No, that wasn't.
Clint Eastwood.
No, you're thinking of a different movie. You're thinking of Indian movie. It's a movie about an Indian kid
who
they're looking for $1 million arm, and they do a search across.
It's a guy that thing.
I think is known for television, I believe, is the star.
Greg Kinnear.
John Hamm?
Yeah, John Hamm.
Yeah. Well.
He's kind of actually, yeah.
He's a weird hybrid.
John Hamm is an A-list star. Nice.
Yeah, that'd be him. But he was a Mad Men. He got famous on TV.
That's how I know him. Yeah, from Mad Men. Okay.
Oh, I got to see him in The Town.
Number 15 on the list. He's the highest grossing baseball movie.
Baby Driver.
Today's the first day of baseball. Trouble with the Curve.
That's with Clint Eastwood, Justin Timberlake, and that was...
Oh, nice. Very good.
And then the girl. His daughter? Amy Adams. That was the one there.
Okay. Number 16 on the list. For the Love of the Game. Who started that?
Yeah, For the Love of the Game was a love story.
He's got the Bridges.
Nope.
No.
He might be in it, but it didn't have him as the star. The star, really, the star should be like, okay, if there's a baseball movie, we got to put him in it.
Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Kevin Costner was in a movie called For the Love of the Game. I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah, no, it came out about a year ago or 2 years ago, and it was a story of... I think he had a son that was black or something like that. I do remember that. I remember something like that. It was supposed to be a touching story.
Number 17 on the list. Who do they have as the star of this? It's the Bad News Bears.
Yeah, that would be Walter Matthau, right?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Oh, the new one. So it would be Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah, there you go. The Sandlot.
Yeah, with that. That's classic.
Man, The Sandlot is this far down on that list. People are going crazy. They've been texting that one in over and over and over.
Yeah, during that last break, we must have gotten 100 texts saying there's no way The Sandlot's not on that list.
Sandlot made $32.4 million, and it stars Tom Gurry.
That's a cult hit with, Smalls. And
You're killing me, Smalls.
And when they kiss. And
Major League 2 made $30 million, and that's starring Charlie Sheen.
Charlie.
All right, so I'll let you guys guess, what do you think came in 20th place? It was a really big black comedian who was super funny, and it's a baseball movie.
Bernie Mac?
Bernie Mac. What's the name of the movie?
Yeah, it was 3000.
Mr. 3000. Yeah.
That was a good movie. It was fun.
God, I loved him. He was so funny.
God, and The Fan with Robert De Niro didn't get on there. Yep. So that didn't even make
that's the one I was thinking. De Niro and Wesley Snipes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that.
He was supposed to be playing kind of like a Bonds-ish kind of guy.
Totally, and you could redo that one as well. I remember that being like a very edgy film. I saw it when I was much younger. So.
He was a stalker, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like the super fan gone wild.
Yeah, you could definitely redo that one. And what else is missing out of that one? Jeez.
You mean out of the baseball movies?
Yeah, the baseball movies. It sounds like, I guess, all of them.
8 Men Out's not there, right?
So the ones that are being texted in, yeah, there's that one, Jimmy, and then John Goodman in The Babe.
Oh yeah.
The Babe was great, man. Yeah.
That had, right. Well, I probably made 20 or 20-something million because if didn't register.
All right, when we come back, it's time to find out where you're at. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Morris Day.
I always love Morris Day at the time. Are they considered a joke or are they
no,
for real?
No, they're a legitimate rock band. All right. The time, R&B.
Hell yeah.
They bring it.
Is that Prince in the background?
There might be some Prince overtones throughout.
I was going to say his influence is kind of in the background.
Yeah, they're all from Minneapolis.
Yeah.
All sounds like Prince music.
Damn sure does. Hey, welcome back to The Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Tonight's the Monster Comic of the Year competition. Can't wait for that. Also, this weekend is the World Food Festival. Man, if you love to eat, which is probably everybody in the audience except for maybe you anorexic. So other than that, everybody loves to eat, right?
So
great food this weekend, and it's at Cranes Roost Park, which I love. The weather's going to be perfect. Great day to go out there. Spend Saturday out there. You can take the family, go around, hang out. Great for a date. Yep. It's great to just go hang out. So it's this Saturday. Starts at noon. Tonight, Monster Comic of the Year starts at... What time does it start tonight?
7, right?
No, it starts at 8.
Starts at 8?
Yep.
I get there at 7.
Yeah. Everything starts at 8.
Yeah, I made that mistake last time. I'm like, ooh, starts at 7, so I need to get there at 5. And so I was there way early. I'm not doing that tonight, so I'll be there right on time and join us tonight. It's a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
We'll be judging, we'll be hosting, we'll be doing a thing, and you'll see a lot of great comics. Now it's time for Dirty Jim to tell you where it's at.
Oh.
I'll wait.
Oh, by the way, you can text us at 77031, and I've been texting people back during the break. I know the other guys have too. So if you got questions, you got stuff, and if you've got something you want us to handle, some situation that you want to get our opinion on, you can always email me, russ@wtks.com, and by the end of the show, we might get to your personal email.
Where you at? Brought to you by Klausman Law. That's KlausmanLaw.com. Office is right there in Winter Park. Glenn Klausman, great friend of the show, has been for many, many years and can help you out in many times of need. You had a car accident? My man specializes in just that and has lobbied in Tallahassee for many, many years, making sure insurance companies don't get an edge on you. So if you've had an issue like that, please call Glenn. He will pick up his phone. Matter of fact, you get his phone number, and he picks it up every time. Klausman Law, KlausmanLaw.com. Offices, again, in Winter Park. Where are you at? Perdido Key.
Perdido Key. I'm going to guess.
Where are you at? Perdido Key.
It's got to be down the Keys, I would think.
Anybody?
I mean, I know there's Cedar Key, which is off up there, but I'm going to just roll the dice and guess I got a better chance if I say somewhere in the Keys.
All right.
I think it's next to Burrito Key.
Next to Burrito Key? That's a good one. That's actually my favorite key. Yeah. Angel?
I know where this is.
Oh, you do?
Well, because Fort Walton Beach, all that area. So this is a good, cool spot to go to.
That's right. Perdido Key is an unincorporated community in Escambia County, Florida, which is between Pensacola and Orange Beach, Alabama. Anybody want to take a shot at what Perdido means?
Lost.
There you go. Spanish for the word lost.
Perdido.
Yep. And the community is...
Oh, you gotta redneck it up.
Perdido.
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 Perdido Key.
Perdido Key. We take your fancy Spanish words like Boca Raton and turn it into Bucarata.
Yeah. Bucarata. Still mouth of the rat. However you look at it, right? It's a barrier island, northwest Florida, southeast Alabama. The Gulf Islands National Seashore includes the east of the island there, as well as other Florida islands, and no more than a few hundred yards wide in most places. Stretches more than 16 miles from Pensacola to Perdido Pass, Pass.
Perdido.
From the beginning of the 17th century, Russ, Spanish and French explorers imagining riches of the New World began colonizing that northern coast of the Gulf of Mexico. And the expedition of Veracruz, Mexico, had settled on what became a Santa Rosa Island on Pensacola Bay, not Pensacola, P-A-N-Z-A.
Pensacola. It's actually Tanzania.
There you go. Named after the indigenous people, later known as the Pensacola Indians. Pensacola means, I'm going to say this word and put a blank in there and you guys fill it in, all right?
Okay.
Your chance for comedy. The Pensacola translates to the village of blank people. Russ.
Man, everything I thought of was racist. I can't say it.
Yeah, yeah. That's bad, right?
Probably.
Okay.
The Indians, right? That's Indian people. I'll say Indian people.
All right.
Say it again to me.
Pensacola, originally Pensacola, I mean, Pensacola is what it turned into, means... The village of blank people.
Pansy-ass people.
It does not mean village of pansy-ass people.
No.
Lo, our angel?
Pansa. So that means like the village of big belly
big
people.
Big bellies.
That's funny. You should say that. Actually, it means the village of hairy people. Hairy people.
Yeah, I mean, a pansa is your belly. That
is it really?
Yeah, you would say like your big fat belly. I mean pansa. Yeah.
Well, maybe they had hairy bellies.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh. I've got one. I'll show you later.
No.
The French developed a settlement along the coast near Mobila that turned into Mobile, and they were competing in this area. Both explorers from countries had heard of this great mysterious body of water to the west of Pensacola, but they were unable to find the entrance. However, in 1693, noted cartographer and scientist Carlos Gongora was sent by the Spanish government to locate the entrance. After he located the mouth of the bay, he was unable to find a waterway deep enough to sail through, and according to legend, his ship had actually been blown off course as he was searching for the passage into the water. Spotted by an Indian chief, he camped out there at Bear Point, which is an area right near there. The Deepwater Gulf of Mexico area was known as a tranquil bay at the time, guys. The search party did locate the elusive bay, and they called it Perdido Bay, which, of course, means lost or hidden because it was very difficult to find. Early maps indicate that at that time, the pass was blocked or very near to the state of the boundary between Alabama and Florida. Hurricanes, as well as other forces, check this out, this is great, natural and man-made, have moved the pass back and forth over time for over 3 miles. In other words, this entrance has moved back and forth because of tides and everything. 3 miles, an entire body of land and water. Said to have once estimated a 300 natural springs were bubbling up from that sandy bottom. Matter of fact, there were so many around there that there's a bridge there called the Lillian Bridge. And when construction began, the natural springs really caused problems with the engineering because, Russ, they tried to drive the pilings down, and the bubbling sand, the pilings would just sink.
Just all the way down.
Damn.
Yeah, they had to devise a solution, which was building cofferdams to shore up the pilings to keep them from sinking. In 1933, Perdido Key became an island. Before then, the area was really just a small peninsula just to the west of Pensacola, and it crossed a large ditch that was narrow enough to jump across, sometimes filled with alligators. Alligators! They widened that, and what did that become part of? Anybody?
What's Alligator Alley?
It was like a ditch. That's a really good guess, dude, but it's actually the Intercoastal Waterway. This ditch that was filled with gators and all this other stuff, actually, when they widened it, it actually turned out to be part of the Intercoastal Waterway. The digging that would connect Pensacola and Big Lagoon, Perdido Bay, Mobile Bay, was finished in 1933. And like I said, it's an island about 60 miles long. In 1978, the National Park Service completed purchase over 1,000 acres. Over 60% of Perdido Key, Russ, is part of the National Park System. And old-timers still slip in the area and call it Gulf Beach because it was really that beforehand. Miles of preserves offer opportunities for outdoorsmen, hiking, kayaking, bird watching, dolphin watch excursions. version sailing tours. Very popular there at Perdido Key. And it's home to the endangered Perdido Key mouse, Russ.
The Perdido Key mouse.
Yeah, this is actually kind of fascinating. The small white and gray mouse weighs 13 to 16 grams. It blends in with that white quartz beach. Have you ever been to the beaches in the Gulf up there in the Panhandle? They're amazing.
I'm going. Can't wait.
What do you think caused this? There's two reasons why they're saying that this mouse is about to be extinct.
Okay.
One of them is development.
Okay.
Right? What's the other one?
A lot of snakes? A lot of,
No, it's natural, though. We didn't have anything to do with this.
We didn't have anything to do with it.
Pretty crazy. Hurricanes, actually, guys, have blown these rats to death. They're saying that hurricanes have destroyed their environment to the point where they couldn't survive, and then the other half was taken care of us by development. Sea turtles, another endangered visitor to the Perdido Key. Loggerhead, leatherback, ridley turtles, green sea turtles, they all come there. They all lay their eggs. Places to go right there on the island are easy to find. Gulf Islands National Seashore. Rosamond Johnson Beach right there, Big Lagoon State Rec Area, and Perdido Key State Rec Area as well. And Russ, a 2-2, 1,100-square-foot waterfront townhouse. How much do you think that runs you in Perdido Key?
A waterfront townhouse.
Now, it's actually waterfront, and then there's that the river thing, and then there's the ocean thing. So it actually is.
A waterfront?
It's waterfront. Yeah.
I'll say $350,000.
God, that's actually not a bad guess. Can you believe it only set you back $270,000?
Wow.
And the place really doesn't look that bad. Just with a mild search, you can find very affordable housing up there for, like, really not much money. And that area is gorgeous.
Is it close to Panama City? Is it
in that area. It's all within 100 miles, 50 miles of that. And near Alabama, that whole area up there. And from what other stuff I read that wasn't as interesting as this, it's just one of those magical places you go up there, spend a lot of time to kind of check out.
Yeah, because we've talked about it so much here on Where You At. I mean, I'm taking a vacation at the end of next month to go up into that area and check it out. And I'm staying on that sailboat.
That's one of my favorite parts of Florida is that area. I've got family up there at least twice a year. We try to go make a road trip up there.
Family that lives up in Tennessee and Mississippi, and they book a trip down there every single year, and the family all kind of congregates in that area because it's so absolutely gorgeous and has a little something for everybody. Thanks to Where You At for my friend Glenn Klausman over at Klausman Law. That's Klausman law.com right here in Winter Park. My man will take care of you in times of need. Again, that's Klausman Law. Thanks, Glenn. We appreciate it.
How is Glenn doing?
Glenn's great. I'm actually having lunch with Glenn tomorrow.
Yeah, Glenn's a good fella, man. You gotta like Glenn Klausman. So, okay, so up in that area, everything is kind of... it's all kind of the stories are kind of the same, you know. A lot of it's Indian related. A lot of
that's pretty much Florida.
Yeah.
Florida pretty much controlled by the Indians. Number of tribes, Seminoles, Calusas were big, and then the Spanish came, effed it up for everybody.
Would you say, you know, how, like, you know, if you go down to Sarasota, you realize there's going to be a lot of older people. So if I go to the Panhandle, that's going to be, it looks like it's a lot of older people from the little research I did from looking for places to stay. All the places to stay looked like older people.
It's massive sport fishing up there. I know that for a fact. I mean, I think the tarpon fishing up there is world class. So I know that happens. You know, there's some military bases up there as well, but it is a beautiful spot. And I think pretty much as I read more about the state, all of Florida is an area where old people come to.
Yeah, I mean,
the warm weather really is everything, to be honest with you. You know, it really is. I mean, when you get a little bit older, it's, you know, 75 is, my God, when, you know, turn the heat up.
There was no limit on the amount of condos you could rent in the Panhandle. Like, there, I mean, a bunch of them. And then when you go
what
to
was the average price,
The average price was about $150, and then some were up to $300 and $400. This was
if you can get one by day, because or per day. Usually they make you rent for an entire week in that $1,500 to $2,500 range.
Yeah, there were some that were like that. Yeah, for sure.
And they do that because they know that people will come down and put like 8, 9, 10 people in a condo that's supposed to sleep like 6. You know, and they get the most cash.
And that's with Airbnb, and then is it RVBO or VRBO?
Yeah.
Did you see the little bit of controversy that happened just this week with someone that, you know, I've been doing this a lot lately, and I actually learned it from Angel. Angel's the first one I know that went to Airbnb and was using them. And there's a family that used, it wasn't Airbnb, but it was like their competitor, which is VRBO. And so their whole family went to got a house in
Mexico.
And mom, dad, you know, son and daughter. And something was wrong in the house with the gas, and it killed the entire family.
Yeah,
and now they're trying to figure out who's, you know, who's liable here. Is it VRBO for setting this up? Is it the homeowner? And if it's in Mexico, I saw John Morgan. John Morgan's like, look, they're not, you know.
Good luck.
There's no rules in Mexico where you can sue. So pretty much that family's just screwed. I mean, which is horrible. But they said, you know, you should realize that when you do rent one of these homes with VRBO or with Airbnb, you got to check the fine print and make sure you check the place when you go in, because they're not under any kind of, you know, it's not like, you know, for sure there are people checking the house.
Regulations.
It's you're kind of on your own doing it. And that's the little bit of gamble when you go to one of these Airbnbs.
You know, carbon monoxide. Got me thinking of that when I saw that story. I was like, Jesus. Well, how do you know? I'm sure the family that rented the place didn't think that they had a carbon monoxide poisoning. So it's like, maybe with one of those, you bring a little carbon monoxide detector and you pop it in there.
Now, I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think it was carbon monoxide.
I thought it was carbon monoxide.
I thought it was the gas for the gas stove.
Oh, okay.
It was the gas for the gas stove. There was a leak in it. And someone had turned the gas stove on or whatever.
That was one of the great, there's murder mystery shows. Just pick one you like. There's a trillion of them on TV. But one I saw a few years back was this very thing. A landlord had chosen to fix the gas furnace himself to save money because it was going to cost him like $1,500. He tries to fix it himself, doesn't fix it correctly. Family moves in. You know, next morning they find them all dead. Oh. Wife, you know, three kids, single, or mother, three kids, single mom type thing. And man, their investigation went crazy, and they finally turned around and came back to figure out that
it was a gas leak.
It was a gas leak, and even worse, the owner kind of knew it was on him at that point and turned the feed to the gas off.
Yeah.
And the detective basically said, "Hey, why is this furnace work?" And he said, "Yeah, just turn the gas on." The instant they turned the gas on, the entire room filled up to the point where one of the detectives had to run out because he had consumed so much he started vomiting.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how much was in there.
Damn.
I have someone on the texting service. By the way, thank you for texting us, guys. We appreciate the text. It's 77031. It's brought to you by David Moss Toyota. Someone said they're using VRBO for the first time in Key West, and they're afraid they're going to be stranded. I will tell you, I have never had a problem with, I use Airbnb, but I've never had a problem with Airbnb. Matter of fact, every time I've done it, I've been really, really happy with it, and like, wow, it's been super cool. And I know, Angel, you've probably done it more than I have. Have you ever had a situation where you were disappointed?
No, not at all. I get it, the trepidation if it's the first time using one of these, social media or peer-to-peer kind of things, but just do your homework. Look at the other reviews of the place that you're renting. Look, you know, the guys that do well at this, they make it a point to, their profiles are meticulously maintained, and they have good reviews. The people that do this often enough, you can weed out the people that don't do this well.
Yes.
So I would tell you, read the reviews. Most of these people that are offering up their places, they encourage you to communicate with them. So any of your concerns or anything that you're worried about, you can shoot them messages beforehand before you get there. And the guys that are really good at this get back to you very quickly. I've had nothing but positive experiences.
I'm the exact same way. Matter of fact, I'm going to one next week. I got a house in New Smyrna, and it's like almost just like $100. It's really not expensive at all. And the guy who owns it has been in contact with me. Matter of fact, just sent me something today. So, I mean, I've found it to be very, very good. The situation that is in the news, that's a rare situation. But, like, that's the place that I'm going to be getting for next weekend.
And that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's nice looking. It's right near New Smyrna. You get to go hang out. It's big. You know, so I don't know. I think the Airbnb thing is awesome, but of course it's making news because the whole family, you know, passed away.
It's also making news because there are people who want to Airbnb their home in communities where it really isn't supposed to be.
Right.
So they're having beef with that, like real bad, like in communities. They're like, well, we don't want you Airbnb-ing your home and having, you know, fratters come in here or porn guys coming in and using your home to shoot porn for 3 or 4 or 5 days and then bailing. So homeowners associations and groups like that are having a difficult time with this peer-to-peer using stuff just simply because there's no regulation to it, really.
Yeah, yeah.
It's whatever agreement you can make with somebody else. And unfortunately, if you don't regulate yourself, You know, and you run like a scumbag.
Right.
You know, I don't want that in my neighborhood. I don't know about you. So I know that they're having some legal issues in that way.
A ton of people are texting right now at 77031, and pretty much everyone's saying, I only use VRBO. I've never been let down. I use Airbnb. It's awesome. I did it in Europe. It's awesome. So
my wife has done it with her friends and used it to get rooms when they couldn't get a room. My kids have used it.
Yeah.
And by the way, they do say it was carbon monoxide because the exhaust vent from the hot water heater was blocked. So the room filled up with tasteless. Odorless?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
That's what it was. Okay.
You can bring a carbon monoxide detector that doesn't cost a lot. You pack it in your suitcase, pop it in there. Better be safe than sorry. You may never use it, but the one time it goes off, it's saving your life.
My campers went off, and let me tell you, because it was like our third time using the camper. It was just the gas on one of the burners.
Yeah.
Got left on a little bit or whatever. And man, when that thing went up, you should have seen us jump out of that box.
I bet.
But that thing.
Were you sleeping?
No, we were up, thank God. Yeah. I mean, just give you an idea, it could have saved our lives because had we been sleeping, that happened.
You know,
gonzo.
I probably wouldn't have done it before. Now I'll be staying on a sailboat. I mean, I probably will bring one. They're not expensive, right?
But there's no.
Hell no.
I mean, what would the carbon. I mean, the gas from the boat?
There's an engine.
Generator.
All right, listen, your chance to win $1,000 coming up in just a couple minutes. All you do is text this keyword to 200-200, and you very well could win. All right, you're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
To win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1 from the Real Radio. Real Radio 104.1.
Thank you so much for listening to the Monster of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. All day long, you have an opportunity to win that $1,000, okay? You just listen for the keyword, and you text it, and, you know, all through our show, all through the News Junkie, all through the Phillips File, and then all through Tom and Dan, you've got an opportunity to win $1,000 here on Real Radio 104.1. I think five people have won so far. We'd love for you to be next, so just keep listening for that keyword and text the keyword, and you could be a winner. Tonight's the Monster Comic of the Year competition, and, you know, these have all been great. They really, really have. I mean, we've had there's a lot of great comics in Central Florida, and today we got another round, and today with us is Marcus Crespo is here. I finally got it right. I've been saying Crespo for some reason. I'm sorry. I've been saying your name wrong. How are you doing, Marcus?
I'm doing fantastic, brother.
How long have you been in Central Florida?
In Central Florida, probably about 4 years.
4 years? Where'd you come from?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, Florida. And you grew up there?
I grew up pretty much born and raised.
Yeah, you can move that if you want. You can move that closer to
you.
Born and raised in Jacksonville.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, other than comedy, what did you do like before comedy? What did you do for a living?
Security.
Oh, security guard.
Yeah, I used to do mall security, and then I worked at one of the theme parks.
Oh, yeah.
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so when you did mall security, when did you decide to go into the mall security business?
I did bouncing at like little hole in wall rock bars.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I want to move on up. And then, and so mall security, we had a sketchy mall near where I lived at.
Regency Square?
Regency Square, yes.
Word.
Oh, yeah, the reputation. Just Google it. Yeah. You'll see all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what? Shootings, what did you see? Really?
Shootings. Oh, man, hundreds of fights.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was like a UFC fighter, but I wore a tie and a badge.
And
did
a little
you,
hat.
Did you have a, what was it the mall cop has?
The hover.
Oh, a Segway. Yeah.
Segway.
No segue.
Oh, that's BS, man.
Yeah, no, we didn't have it in the budget. We were too broke. Yeah. For the lawsuits.
What's the craziest fight you ever saw?
Oh, man. I saw a fight where a shoe got embedded into the head of a girl.
Oh! Oh, why she used the heel as like hit? A...
Yeah, and it was stuck in her head, and it... And then it was swaying around like a boat motor.
Like a rudder.
And the girls kept fighting.
I thought that was a joke. I didn't think the chicks really did that.
I saw things, man.
How many times did you catch somebody trying
scarred.
To steal?
I've seen things.
We didn't really, we weren't directly involved with the shoplifting. Only if it got out of hand.
Oh.
We were like the backup.
Out of hand does it have to get before the mall police. Security getting mauled?
Very out of hand. Yeah. Very out of hand.
Like
that Mac makeup.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. I mean, people would fight. They would fight.
If so you caught him. Did you ever have to go and say, excuse me, man, what's in your purse? Or what? Did you ever have to actually catch somebody and inquire about whether they stole someone?
Yeah, I don't know if you know. Just a minute ago, he talked about somebody burying a shoe in someone's skull.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't know if you're going to interfere with anybody shopping. You're just going to let them walk out with them diapers.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I was a loose cannon, though. I was, like, a little bit younger. So I was just like, let's go. You know,
yeah,
I
you
was
were
like,
ready for it. Did you catch people having sex?
All day.
I know
all
it.
Day.
I always wanted to do it in a mall.
If I remember right, that mall used to get sprayed like once a month.
Oh, just,
like dudes just go by spraying it.
I mean like yeah. machine guns? Guns?
Yeah,
like guns?
Like guns.
I worked a couple shootings. Couple shootings.
Okay, so you did that and then you were also a bouncer. Which was more fun, to be a bouncer or to work at the mall?
The mall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. The
show's better.
Yeah. Well, because the bouncer, we had a reputation. You're like, oh, you know, they're gonna hurt us or whatever.
What kind of bar was it?
It was. They were closed within a month of opening. Yeah, just hole in the walls. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the mall, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, you're top flight, you know, rent a cop. You know, they'll say everything in the book.
Did you ever punch anybody? Did you ever get to punch anybody straight in the face?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Was it a dude?
Huh?
Because up there,
every gender and age I got into it with.
Everybody got punched.
Kids, women, Asian, black.
When you're there and you're doing your mall security, whatever, is that when you're like, okay, listen, I got to do something else? Stand up comedy? Is it like, where did you get the inspiration? Where did you get the idea? Why did you start doing stand up comedy?
I've always been like a goofball. So I was like, I had like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing going on there because I was like, I wreck people, and then afterwards, I'm taking them back to the office to process for trespassing.
Yeah.
Then I'm cracking jokes at them.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Just, like, tease them and stuff, you know.
I got an audience now, yeah.
But, I like comedy better. It's, yeah.
How long have you been doing it for?
This year will be my 10th year.
10 years of stand-up comedy, okay.
Yeah.
And so, okay, the first time you go on stage, because it's interesting to hear, most people, some people, first time they go on stage, they kill, and that's what hooks them. And some people, it was much more difficult than that. How about for you?
I did well, and I found out it was because I had mostly family there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's a bad business plan.
I got a false start. Then I did my first real gig, and I bombed.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how did you handle that first bomb? Some people, you handle it by drinking a lot. Some people cry. Some people take it all in stride. How did you handle that first bomb?
Didn't do comedy for like 4 months.
So it bothered you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I had like all my family.
Oh.
I had coworkers.
And they didn't even laugh?
Well, they were supposed to laugh at you.
Yeah, that's the built-in audience.
But if you saw the set, you'd be like, oh, I understand.
Oh, really?
I got you, yeah.
You just weren't feeling it that day? Or
I was just bad.
Oh, okay.
I strained family relationships that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So then 4 months later, you're like, all right, screw it. I'm going to get back out there. What did you do different that 4 months later?
Props. I watched a lot of Comedy Central and like YouTube and stuff like that. Just like, but unfortunately, it was like a funnel of different styles. I didn't know my style then.
And what is your style, would you say?
Now?
Yeah,
it's,
sure.
It's a storyteller.
Okay.
I started out trying to do one-liners, and that's not
It's not your style. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So you've been here for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And you're in the area, you're doing a lot of stand-up comedy in the area.
Yeah.
So if you were to win the competition, do you have an idea of like once a week, if you're able to come on and have a segment once a week, is there something in your mind that you would want to do, a particular thing you'd want to do? Would you want to just hang out for, for a segment? What would be your idea if you won the Monster Comic of the Year competition?
I had a couple ideas like banging around in my head.
All right, let's hear them.
Some of them were silly, and then I
no
some...
silly.
Like,
nothing
we had done
silly.
The stupidest things in the world.
Very serious radio show.
Yeah, yeah. There. There's no way you could be too silly here.
Okay, well, one of them was I was going to have where I taste test gummy bears or strippers.
Yeah, because somebody just texted and said you have a gummy bear problem or something.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm a gummy bear
You're
fiend.
A gummy guy,
I'm the
huh?
gummy gangster.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
That's good.
Always been? You like the gummy worms. You like the anything gummy.
I love anything gummy.
I'd like you to meet the Oreo kid behind you.
Me and you partner got to hang out.
Yeah. And I'm the pizza
sugar
pal.
Sugar party. Then we're going to check our sugars pal. Later.
have strippers. Taste the gummy bears, and they got to figure out what flavor is that your idea?
The best brand. I don't know.
How do you taste them?
Huh?
How do you taste them? Is it just straight up taste?
Or you have the stripper in studio.
You got to insert it like on the middle of the tongue, because that's where the palate is the best.
Okay. That's all
right. I've been doing research.
Now, Marcus, were you planning on bringing the strippers, or are you going to leave that up to us?
You
haven't thought that far. That was his idea. Okay.
I can help you out with that, though.
Okay. Idea one, he's strippers and gummy bears. Okay.
Yeah, that's a win.
Idea number two.
Yeah, the Oreo kid knows a couple double stuff for strippers.
Yeah. Idea number two, it was going to be like basically have strangers do stand-up.
Oh, yeah. We've done that. Yeah, it sounds good. It's on paper. It's hilarious.
That was part of the idea initially with this contest was to get people who were like, hey, man, if you think you're funny, why don't you hop up? And there was two, and they were horrific.
To be honest, even back before Carlos, way back, Dirty Jim, and I started this thing where, and it was Jimmy's idea, I believe, it was... beat the crickets. So we would have people that thought they were funny, and they'd be like three of them, and they'd come in and they would tell jokes. And every time it was a bad joke, Jimmy would hit the crickets, you know.
Basically,
it turned out to just
it would shatter guys. Yeah. I mean, they would come in here and they would like tell three jokes in a roll, and they would get a laugh, and they would start getting full of themselves, and then they would drop a bomb, and I mean an air escape bomb, and I'd hit them with the crickets, and it would just—they couldn't. They would just sit and stare for the next 3 minutes.
And we weren't holding them. We wouldn't give them any. Yeah. What we call that laugh, like sympathy
courtesy,
laugh, or courtesy laugh. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's it sounds better on paper than it really is.
Yeah.
It was actually very mean, and actually traumatized several of these people for years later. And they hit me up afterwards, literally telling me I stopped doing it. I was like, oh man.
No, there was a guy. Remember?
I totally remember. I'm not going to say his name, but I totally remember.
In the first round of the Monster Comedy Gear Competition, there was a guy that came back and he said, "Listen, I stuck with stand-up comedy because you made me do the beat the crickets and
Chrissy.
You embarrassed the hell out of me." And he stuck with it. And actually, is a stand-up comic now.
Mm.
Any other guy's a neurosurgeon.
All right, we want to get to know Marcus a little bit more. Marcus Crespo will be tonight competing in the Monster Comic of the Year competition. It's going to be Marcus, it's going to be Vince Taylor, Mike Charette, Timmy Time, and Ryan Holmes all competing. We'll find out how many of these guys he knows. We'll find out what his plan is for tonight and get to know Marcus a little bit more. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Tonight is the Monster Comic of the Year competition. It's the third round of the Monster Comic of the Year competition. We've got five comedians competing for it. You know, the winner of the entire event gets $1,000 and is able to come on the show once a week and do their own little segment or hang out with us for a segment, whichever they want. You know, we've got Devin Siebold. You know, he now does Real Laughs with Monster Comics here at night on Real Radio 104.1. Miguel Colon, another guy who won Monster Comic of the Year, he's on Real Laughs. And then Ross Pageant, who is the current Monster Comic of the Year, is on with Dirty Jim on Fridays and comes in here with us on Wednesdays. So, you know, we've the guys that have won Monster Comic of the Year have been able to turn it into something and get some publicity and hopefully help their career. I think all of them have said that it has definitely helped their careers, definitely, and they've been able to kind of charge a lot more because, hey, listen, I'm on the radio, and I'm going to be able to promote it, and that's one of the things I think that has made this such a great competition. We have, I mean, this year, you could just tell, like, the level of the professional comics rose. A lot of the people, a lot of the people that kind of knew they weren't that good didn't even try this time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Today we've got Marcus Crespo is here with us, and I turn your mic right there, you got a little red button there. There you go.
Cool.
Yeah, and so what is it that made you want to enter the contest? Like, did somebody tell you about it? Did you listen? Like,
I kept track of the previous contest. I considered entering, but then I saw some of the people. I didn't feel I was ready. I had a couple of comics. Had a couple of other people that are listeners that are like, you got to do it. You got to do the contest. And so I was like, all right, why not?
And I have a question. Have we ever seen Marcus and Miguel in the same room? Because I think it may be the same person. I think you might just be a little lighter Miguel.
That's an insult to one of them.
No. I love Miguel. So are you Miguel Colon Jr.?
I'm Miguel with a struggle beard.
Yeah, there we go.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, what's your goal, dude? Like, you know, when people do stand-up and stuff, you get in it, you've been in it a while. What is your, I mean, where did you see this going?
It's a weird answer. A lot of people are like, oh, I want to be a superstar. My goal, I would love to just live comfortably doing this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, naturally, if you're good at this, it will lead you to other things.
Sure.
But there have been a number of stand-ups who have worked their entire life doing theater shows and never like did the TV thing. I mean, Brian Regan comes to mind.
Oh, yeah.
You know, although he's a massive star and has done HBO specials and whatnot, Brian never really was a guy who wanted a sitcom or anything like that. And he's been a massive comedy star for four decades.
Yeah, he makes, I think, $100,000 a performance or something like that.
Oh, wow, yeah. Hey, what are you into? Like, are you a Star Wars guy, a Star Trek guy? Are you video games?
I like nerdy things, but one of my biggest nerd things is I like pro wrestling.
Okay.
I'm a big pro wrestling.
Nice.
And yeah. I know there's a history here with the...
Yeah.
What are you speaking of?
So, like, that was actually something I actually considered before doing stand-up.
With professional wrestling?
Yeah.
Being a wrestler manager?
Well, I wanted to be a pro wrestler, but then as I started preparing, then I realized the dimensions of my body. I would have to be a luchador or some
sort.
Big
Man Bigelow.
Yeah.
Who was
he was 6'3". He was 6'3". Yeah,
yeah. Who'd you look at? Like, who was your favorite?
Hold on.
He just knew Big Man Bigelow's height.
You just had that. You just had Bam Bam Bigelow's height and stats accessible immediately.
6'3", 285.
Damn.
That's my nerd thing. Well, some people don't consider it a nerd thing because it's an athletic thing, but like, I don't know.
It's really a talking thing, though, isn't it?
Who was your favorite? Who was your favorite?
Oh, man, I had a bunch. When I was young, it was Hogan Warrior.
Yeah.
Then it was like Rock Stone Cold, you know?
Yeah, you strike me as a Bugsy McGraw, guys.
See, I bet he doesn't know Bugsy. Have you ever heard of Bugsy McGraw?
Bugsy McGraw, no.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's indie guy? 70s Vietnam.
Oh,
hey, okay. 70s Vietnam vet gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, didn't know where he was. He was
shell
a pilot.
He
was giant, had the beard. He kind of looked like an old grizzly man. And he would come out with his hat on and his goggles. And he had, like, he didn't know where he was. He'd put his hands out like he was flying a plane and spin in circles.
Yeah,
his
finisher was called the Nang.
Yeah.
it was a good gimmick for a while.
Yeah, shell shock or something like that.
Yeah.
So did you go to wrestling now? Like, if WrestleMania was in town, does that mean
you're gonna... I was here at the SmackDown.
Okay.
I was here. Been to a couple NXT things. There was a point in time where I stopped watching because stand up.
Like, everybody does.
Stand up gets in the way of a lot of things. Like, I should be really big into watching football, but the schedules conflict a little bit.
What about dating? Like, are you,
how many girlfriends do you have?
When I started, like, I was in a relationship almost the duration of my comedy career.
And what happened?
Comedy got in the way.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we have found. A lot of women don't understand, because you don't make a whole lot of money doing stand up comedy, and then you got to travel a lot, and you got to decide what's going on. More important, spend time with you this weekend, or go to Sam Sula and do a stand up for $15. So what happened with your situation?
Pretty much, comedy is a sultry mistress, and she was like, I want to cuddle, like I want to tell jokes, and then that's that.
That's
how it goes. Yeah.
Do you ever hit on women that are in the audience? Like, oh, that one's hot.
I do, but it rarely comes to fruition. And then when it happens, I don't know what to say. I'm like, oh, I didn't think that was going to work.
What style would you say comedian, for the audience, what style comedian do you kind of format after?
There's a new crop of guys that are like, they're based in like the South. They have like Southern drawls, but they have like kind of liberal mindsets.
Yeah.
They're kind of like that. I'm not political, but just the mindset of some of the guys.
Yeah. The one guy as well.
Like Kyle Kinane's one that I think about, Nate Bargatze.
Okay.
And there's some other ones that aren't similar to my side. Is like,
I can see the Kyle. I just got into Kyle. Saw him on Hot Ones and I could see that.
Yeah. I got to work with him. Great guy.
Yeah.
Awesome
cool.
guy. Yeah.
Now, one of the things that with this particular competition is the listeners that are there, they're able to vote by texting who they thought won the night. A good strategy, because the first night, the audience really decided the winner, because all the judges, we all went for somebody different.
Yeah.
So whoever the audience picked and matched up with it, that was the winner of the night. A good thing to do is to bring a bunch of people out. Do you have fans or friends that are coming out to help you tonight?
Yeah, I have quite a few. They're texting me as I speak. You know?
Good.
They're like, hey, man, what's up to the show? I'm like, I posted it 7 times.
Well, it's at the Abbey. It's tonight. Marco Crespo is one of the competitors, along with Vince Taylor, Mike Charette, Demi Time, and Ron. Ryan Holmes. Good luck tonight, good luck, man. Look forward to seeing you. Look forward to seeing your set.
All right, brother.
All right. If people want to get hold of you on your social media, how do they do that?
I'm on Instagram, Marcus Crespo Besto. I'm on Twitter, M Crespo Besto. And on YouTube, Marcus Crespo. I changed it. It used to be like some weird obscure thing, but now I got my name in
Crespo
it.
Crespo Besto's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Crespo Besto.
I love it.
All right.
That's our Russ. It's Cristo Bisto.
Yeah. I don't sell steaks, though.
You're listening to the Match of the Morning.
It's that dirty money.
I got bribes in Atlanta. Just to be in the family. Is this the Ric Flair song?
No.
I like the Ric Flair song. Hey, welcome back to the Monsters Mornings on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. If you get a chance, go to the website at monsters.fm. You can see Women Crush Wednesday from yesterday with Angel. Also, we've got the top five best college spring break photos from the 2018. And there's the what they're saying are the best and the most watched videos on YouTube. There's like a combination of all those all put together. So when you do something, you always, you prefer to be the best, right? It's preferred to be the best. And if you're the best in the world, that's a good thing, right?
As long as it's something cool.
There you go. Exactly, Jimmy. As long as it's something cool. What if you are, it's the world, we'll say it's the world's best, but it's the world's worst, really. This man, they say, has been diagnosed with, since recorded time,
all right,
the best or the worst case of gonorrhea ever. Said this guy.
How do you even measure that?
Diagnosed with the worst case of gonorrhea ever. Says he got it by having sex with a woman in Southeast Asia. And they say that they have thrown everything. I mean, every kind of antibiotic, every drug they can think of at it. And they say for the first time they might have found a strain of gonorrhea. Gonorrhea has gotten to the point where it's this particular case is untreatable. It's the world's worst case they've ever seen. It's a man from England. He said he flew to Asia and had sex with a random woman in Southeast Asia and came back, and the doctors are baffled. They don't know what to do. They said it's the really scary thing here, of course, that this means that gonorrhea now has finally found a way to mutate and be, uncurable. And it's the first time that they've ever seen that.
Oh, man.
Man.
Are they showing? Did you find it?
They showing the stuff?
No, I haven't found it yet.
No. I mean, you don't even have to look for it if you know. Because I remember in high school when they show you those, hey, this is what this looks like, and it's the scariest. So you, and they show you a case of gonorrhea. What's that?
Gonorrhea, sifa herpa, legs will kill ya. You're gonna die.
This is Lisa Loeb. That was Lisa Loeb.
Oh man.
They don't show pictures, do they? Of this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, do they really?
Well, not just just what it does to your body.
Yeah.
It is not cool, bro.
It ain't pretty, is it?
No, it is not.
So, okay, he's just assuming he got it from the girl from Southeast Asia, right?
Yeah. Look, that's going to have to come off of my search history.
It says the guy believes that he had random sex with a woman in Southeast Asia. Yeah. He goes back to England and he goes to the doctor, and the doctor's, whoa. I mean, each doctor moved him up to someone else, and now they've got the greatest doctors they could find in England, and they said they have treated him with everything, and Damn. They still can't cure him. From the world's worst case of gonorrhea ever.
It's, last year around July is when they first started kind of paying attention to this untreatable thing. CBS News reports, or NBC News reports, that they believe it is an explosion in the popularity of oral sex, believe it or not.
Really?
That has caused this.
When did it go out of fashion?
Phrasing.
Well, I think
phrasing, sir.
I don't think necessarily out of fashion is the thing. Is like, when you talk about the STD thing, automatically everybody assumes that it's the normal sexual relationship that passes this stuff on. So
that's what I thought.
You opt for something else to kind of get that need taken care of, and it turns out that
so oral sex can.
Yes.
I'm sure you can get gonorrhea from oral sex, but
Sure, you can.
You always think of it as the other way.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that because of, you know, people change their habits because of, you know, HIV, they went to other things, and maybe that's what caused it. I know that I'm finding that. I saw another story. For some reason, I can't find it here. The WHO reports that 97% of countries report gonorrhea that resists the known antibiotic that seems to be the knockout punch for it. Yeah, 81% are finding cases that receive that one less level antibiotic. It's fighting that as well. In other words, it's not working on it.
So, okay, syphilis and gonorrhea, not the same thing, right? Two different deals.
Yeah, that's why. Two different names. By the way, the gonorrhea was commonly known as the
ninjas.
That's a guess, no question. But I mean, there was a slang term for it. The clap. Absolutely.
Oh, that's the clap.
The clap or the drip.
My buddy used to say, "Hey, man, stay away from her because you got the old."
Clap on, clap off.
It says gonorrhea, commonly known as the clap or drip, is one of the most commonly sexually transmitted diseases there is. Anyone who is sexually active is at risk in any kind of sex. Back door, front door, and
whatever door you
talking
go through.
Door.
Yeah, whatever you go. So, okay, so you would, I'm just asking because I don't know. So you go to Southeast Asia, and if she has gonorrhea, you can see it, right?
I do not know the answer to that. But, I mean, the pictures I just saw online lead you to believe if that's on your face,
no.
I mean, you don't do anything. You don't high five. You don't do nothing.
No. I mean,
you don't shake.
So can gonorrhea, here's my question. So can gonorrhea, can somebody have gonorrhea and you can't see it? It's like dormant or something like that. And
no,
then next thing you know.
I think you're thinking like it has a physical thing, right? Like herpes, you can supposedly see.
Yes.
Right. Gonorrhea is more of an actual act kind of thing, is where you're going to pick it up.
Okay, but okay, if a girl has gonorrhea right now, if she got full on gonorrhea, can you see it? Can you visibly go, oh my God, look at that?
It's going to be frothing.
Yeah, you can't see it, but if you throw a penny on it, it'll foam up.
Okay.
Or earwax.
Earwax is what I've heard.
Earwax is a definitive scientific proof.
So a woman So a woman can have gonorrhea and you don't know it.
I would assume so. But then again, there's guys that are willing to brave a battle, you know. And it's a horrible night in Bangkok, and you're drunk and high, and you run across this Southeast Asian lady that has a mogwai growing down there.
Man,
and
you're all the way in Southeast Asia. You're far away from everything in the world.
Yeah, well, that's close for him.
And you're
a weekend.
Nobody knows. No one's gonna know. And next thing you know, you've got the world's worst case of gonorrhea ever recorded.
Damn.
Everybody's gotta have something, I guess.
I don't think this number two reported it.
Huh?
I don't think the second worst case has reported. I was like, you know, let's just keep this under wraps.
The guy that was in second place? Yeah,
second, third, maybe even first. But that's a horrible thing to get the title on.
Says that this is it's a horrible thing, that it causes serious pain, extreme itching. I'm not laughing about, but pelvic
thrust.
It's an incomplete pelvic.
That's what got you there.
Yeah.
Don't give me the pelvic thrust.
A pelvic inflammatory disease.
Wow, man.
The worst case in the world.
PEDs, man.
When the doctor comes in and tells you, we got good news and bad news.
Yeah.
You're in the Guinness Book of World Records. It's the good news.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I mean, that's a big deal.
I'm the best.
Yeah, I've never personally seen this.
Congratulations. We have a little medal for you here. Now, here's Brown.
Now, we are bringing these Irish people in to take pictures of this to document it. We just got to take a picture of the clap.
Oh, man. Poor fella.
That's horrible.
But here, if you get gonorrhea, they have something to give you, right? If you get the clap, there's
you get gonorrhea walking in thinking you got something else, you walking out happy as hell.
Oh, right. At least it's not HIV.
There was a Robert Townsend bit. Do you guys remember
Robert Townsend?
I do remember him. Yeah.
Okay,
he was funny,
and it was an HBO show, and it was the first time I ever realized what an STD was.
Okay.
And because they were walking in, and it was when AIDS was popping up. This must have been 88, 89, I think. And he walks out of the doctor's office. He's like, yes, yes. And they're like, what, are you okay? Do you not have any disease? He goes, oh, no, I got gonorrhea, but I don't have AIDS.
That's pretty funny. Yeah.
And this was in 89. It's like I said, something like that. I've come. This wasn't recent that I saw, but it just always stuck with me.
What happened to him?
I think he passed away.
Oh, did he?
Robert Townsend did pass away?
Yeah, I believe he did pass away.
No, he's in directing, dude.
No, I think he passed away. I think Robert Townsend passed away. I think you guys are thinking of Keenan Ivory.
No, I know
who Robert Townsend is, dude.
I think Robert Townsend is
a tall, skinny guy. I remember him.
Robert Townsend.
Yeah, like an Irish guy, right?
No, he's a black dude.
Guys, chill out. I'm joking.
Oh, okay. I thought you were dead.
Almighty, man.
I thought you were dead serious.
My God, oh, man.
Yeah, he's 61, dude.
Oh, I killed Robert Townsend.
Yeah.
God damn, dude.
He went into directing, producing, and writing. He went behind the camera.
How do we not have more of Robert Townsend?
We do. You don't realize that it's him directing or writing.
He's up there slapping his chest every time he makes a movie.
Yeah, I want to see him perform, man. He was awesome.
Was that movie he directed about the cops that were at this diner or something? Or was he in
the
that?
The cops in the diner?
No, it's not a diner. It was one of those kind of underground movies back in the day that got a lot of pop, but it didn't make it like on the, like Pootie Tang type thing.
He did Hollywood Shuffle.
That's it, right there. Hollywood Shuffle
was the one that put him on, and then he did Partners in Crime. That's the comedy routine that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then he did the Five Heartbeats, Meteor Man.
Remember Meteor Man? Look, whenever anybody brings up Black Panther, okay, and says it's the first,
Meteor Man,
I'm going to look at him and be like, you know what? I guess you don't know your black history. Because actually, the first black superhero was Meteor Man.
But that's kind of a clown kind of thing, you know?
No, hey, it wasn't.
No, very serious.
Robert Townsend, one of those guys that I had forgotten about. Another guy I had forgotten about, and I saw the other day that he just bought, like, I don't know if it was like the Weather Channel.
He did buy the Weather Channel. Byron Allen,
who's a guy who
bought the Weather Channel.
I remember him from like some Saturday morning show or something.
Yeah,
or
he
like
always get huge
Kids
celebrities.
Or People Too or something like that. And then Byron Allen now just bought like the Weather Channel.
$300 million.
I thought it was a bit.
No,
I didn't even click on the story. I was like, that's fake.
I'm watching on TV. I'm like, Byron Allen, like that guy? Like I remember him
the
doing
the same one. The same Byron Allen you would watch on like late night Sundays and early Saturday mornings.
Yeah, he did some silly little TV shows with the celebrities and stuff, and he was sort of funny. It wasn't like, you know, kill you funny. He was sort of funny. He now just bought the Weather Channel somehow.
I certainly didn't have him having 300 mil.
No, I did not. I guess he's been doing producing and writing and behind-the-scenes stuff.
Wow.
Look, if you go to his IMDb, it's executive producer.
What was he the host of, though, Angel, when he first started that we all remember him from?
It was like Conversations with Byron Allen or something like that. And he would get like big guest, and I would always go like, "Who is Byron Allen?"
Yeah. I thought he did like something with.
He actually had a TV show, the Byron Allen Show.
Okay, yeah.
What was before that? Was there
a TV movie? He was a co-producer of.
Not Kids or People Too. Was that him?
Man, he's done just a bunch of production stuff, man.
Huh?
Yeah, he owns a company called Entertainment. Let me get it here. Entertainment Studios.
And he bought the Weather Channel.
Oh, you know where he made his money?
Where?
With all these judge shows.
Really?
So he produces Supreme Justice with Judge Karen, America's Court with Judge Ross, and for those who know, Judge Judy is like one of the richest women in the world.
Does he produce that?
Judge Judy
just
is
shows that are like it.
Judge Judy produces Judge Judy.
Oh yeah,
that's her game.
A Gossip Queen. So it's all. Oh my gosh,
he did Real People. That was the name of the show that he did. Yeah,
it's all these shows that you see like late night that get syndicated that must be cheap to buy. Like you know The Grab and Gossip Queens.
And all his shows last about one season. Yeah. So he gets in there and gets his money kicked quick. He did We the People with Gloria Allred. He did Cars TV. He did Comedy TV. He did Who Wants to Date a Comedian. He did The First Family, Mr. Box Office. And they all last like one season.
All of these are shows I don't know, never heard
of.
But
it's exactly what Carlos is saying. It's that late night. You know, you come home on a bender and you're like, this looks like it could be entertaining.
But it goes to show that just your fame and popularity doesn't always mean that doesn't always get you to the goal line.
The
guy got $300 million to buy the Weather Channel.
And then this is where he hit America's Judge with Judge Ross. Is that the brother who's the judge, the big black dude? Is that Judge Ross?
I think you might be correct.
Well, he did 498 episodes with that.
Oh, okay.
Well, that one did. And then 157 episodes as the executive producer with Judge Maybelline.
These are all shows I've never even.
And then 595 episodes of Comics Unleashed.
Wow.
I mean, okay, everything you're saying is like, okay, it sounds like some generic version of other shows I know, you know, but
here's another one. Judge Christina Perez, 213 episodes.
But here's
That's a giant show. You have to understand.
Is it?
Here's the
thing. Audience is massive, man. Yeah.
They're saying that that's incredible. He was on that also.
That's incredible. Okay, I was thinking kids are people too. That's incredible.
And
all right.
Then the other thing people are saying is, think about it. With all these networks and all these channels, you need content.
Right, sure, of course.
You know, so you might not be first, but if you're second there and you've got 400 episodes of a show, you're still making some money.
Yeah. Here's Byron Allen. He's like, I got some crappy shows I'll give you. And next thing you know, he owns a damn Weather Channel.
Damn, man. That's crazy. Good for him.
Huh.
Good for him. He looks like Charlamagne too.
Was he on Good Morning America? I don't remember him being on Good Morning America, but people on the texting service at 77031 are saying that he was. I don't remember that, but
I mean, since we're talking cool older black dudes, what's up with Keenan Ivory Wayans? How come we haven't seen Keenan Ivory Wayans?
Keenan's been directing and writing.
He's been directing as well, right?
Yeah. But those guys, he's been directing and writing and kind of setting up other people. You know, he took care of the family, so everyone's got their own careers.
That's true.
Well, Martin Lawrence.
Martin's getting ready to go on tour.
Yeah. Angel and I saw him last year. Real quick, back to Keenan. The reason I bring him up is I watched a couple episodes of In Living Color the other day.
Yeah.
And it was in there probably right after their peak. Jim Carrey was already making movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And just the one episode that I watched the whole way through, every sketch would not be able to be on today.
Oh, because it was too racist?
It was just so out there. It was so bold. It was they had Men in Movies, Men in Vacation. Everything was a gay joke.
Oh, the gay joke.
And then they had the three boxers and a little lady. And they had Muhammad Ali. And he's up there going, I can't remember anything.
Oh, and they're making fun of that.
Mike Tyson rape jokes. I mean, as bad. Oh, PMS, a woman, Jim Carrey. How to detect when your woman is PMSing. I mean, it was, and this was early 90s, how much
the way we were in radio back then. Yeah.
You don't think they could get away with the movie review thing now? Like, hated it.
It would be passé. It would be cliche. It would be like the joke. You know why? Every joke was just a gay joke.
But I still think it was so soft. I think it was almost cartoonish.
Sure.
Because it was just about being fierce.
Yes.
Which still is put on TV.
Remember?
Yeah, that's still, RuPaul still does that to this day and gets away with it, you know?
I don't know.
But in the day and age that we live in now, and everything's looked under quote unquote optics and how it looks and if you're woke or not woke and everything, this could come off a very, kind of cartoonish. Well, very lampoonish.
It was the only joke. When you watch it, go back and watch it, Jimmy, it's the only joke they keep hitting. That was funny as hell at the time, and it was still pretty funny now. But
I'll tell you who is kind of breaking those barriers and was extremely successful with it this week, and that's Roseanne. Because Roseanne's talking about stuff that a lot of people are staying away from, you know? I mean, racial topics and
political
stuff, Donald Trump stuff.
And by the way, she's getting credit, that show is getting credit for being representative of what a lot of American families are dealing with now.
Yes.
Whether it be one of the other parents or you know, spouses are, you know, either a Trump person and or a, you know, a Democrat or Hillary person at that point.
Yeah.
And they're dealing with that unique and eccentricity of political views within the family.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the show. I really want to see it now. I saw a little recap of it, and I guess they've got one young son who is transgender, thinks he's a girl, and then, you know, how Dan deals with that. I saw a very funny segment where what's the black-haired girl's name?
Sarah
Gilbert. Yeah, so Roseanne accuses her of being gay, and she's like, I'm not gay. What makes you think I'm gay? Which is funny because in real life she is.
Yeah.
And they handle all that kind of, and from what I've heard, it was a really, really funny
episode.
It's
getting good reviews, and to the point where Mr. Trump called her.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Congratulated her because they hit like 20 million people watching.
More people watched that.
You did a great job, Oprah.
More people watched that than watched 60 Minutes with Stormy Daniels.
No, don't get it twisted though. Stormy's number was higher than the interview that Trump did for 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
I thought that 60 Minutes was bigger than that. I thought 60 Minutes did like 18 to 20 million or 22 million viewers or something. I thought it was bigger than Roseanne. I think it was the biggest 60 Minutes we've seen in quite a while. I thought it was 22 million viewers and Roseanne came in at 18.
Here's what it says right here. It says the ratings with 18 to 49 demo, more people watched Roseanne than they watched Stormy Daniels. So they broke it down to the demo.
So none of us watched it, even though we all watched Roseanne back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't a gigantic Roseanne fan. No, I really wasn't. Yeah, so I watched really it occasionally, watched but it really, I, she annoyed the complete piss out of me.
I liked the show a lot. I thought it was good. I didn't think they were going to be able to recapture it, you know, I'd watch it, but I wasn't going to stay up late to watch it kind of thing.
It's probably was towards I barely watch sitcoms now. I mean, I can't think of a sitcom that I actually watch. I don't like the format. It looks weird, whatever. But
Roseanne, those were like the last sitcoms that I watched in those 90s. And I watched it every night because it was so different than how I grew up as far as like the American style. But we were those people. We were just a different version of Roseanne.
That's funny because I didn't watch it because it was too big of a reminder for how my life actually was. And I was like, I watch TV to escape, not to watch somebody act out my life.
I get that.
So I like didn't enjoy it.
Get this. So when Will and Grace came back, and Will and Grace was a very popular show, I never watched it. The time I did watch it, I didn't care for it. But when it came back, it had 10 million viewers and was considered, it was a big hit. Roseanne had 18.5 million viewers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's almost double of what Will and Grace did.
But, you know, it's uniquely fit for this point in time in history and in the zeitgeist and everything that's going on. I mean, what other star, what other person could a primetime show where you're actively debating what a lot of people are debating on, a person who ran for president. I mean, John Goodman and Roseanne Barr are as pretty big as you can get, you know? And
they were part of the American culture landscape for, what, 10, 12 years?
Yeah, and John Goodman's one of those actors that I just love. True blue actor, super insecure guy. When you hear him do the interview, he hates bringing up anything that he did. He gave up drinking. He was drunk pretty much the entire time shooting Roseanne.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on stage during the show, he's talked about it.
Well, there are stories about him being in Orlando and being hammered downtown and like hanging out with people, but yeah. Sloppy.
He was almost dead several times. I'm glad to see him doing well. And let's see, I think they did 9 episodes. It's written by Norm MacDonald and Whitney Cummings and a really top-notch group. I'm going to watch it.
Hey, Angel, true or false? Someone on the text server said that Sarah Gilbert from the Roseanne show married the lead singer of Four Non Blondes, Linda Perry.
That's true. I thought they were dating. They might have actually done the ceremony. I wasn't aware of that. I know that they were seeing each other.
Yeah,
they were a couple.
That chick wrote the song for Pink, that I'm Coming Up song that blew her up.
Really?
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, I'm Coming Up. Yeah, yeah. She wrote
She's an amazing writer, and Jimmy's right. She's done a lot of work with pop artists. A lot of the female pop artists have gone to her.
I wonder why
to record and to sing.
That happens often, though.
Their band pretty much only had that one hit.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, what happens though is there are a number of bands. If you look back, and I know we got to go here, but that had great success in the studio are like, well, let's go out there and tour or whatever. You know, they're good songwriters, they're great musicians, they just don't have the look it takes to be a rock star. Well, that's kind of, I mean, Brad, what's his face? Paisley was that guy, right? He was a studio musician as a country music artist, and he said, well, if I'm doing this for other people, I'll do it there. The guy from One Republic, I think, is the same thing.
Yeah.
He was a songwriter and then said, I'll go out there and do it.
What was the hit from Four Non Blondes? It was, I hear my
25 years.
What's up?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, what's up? Yeah, yeah. All right. In a couple minutes, your chance to win $1,000 is here. You listen for that keyword and you text that keyword to 200-200 and you very well could win $1,000. I'd love to see you win. When you play, make sure about an hour afterwards you answer the phone. If you get a weird, number from a number you don't recognize, or a call, make sure you answer that call so you can win the money. All right. You're listening to the Match of the Morning.
What's the matter? You burning?
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. From Real Radio.
Thank you for texting us. 77031. We appreciate the text. We'll text you back during the break sometime. Welcome back to the Monsters Mornings, Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. And Deborah Roberts is here. But before we do the real news, we just were talking about Roseanne. Roseanne had 18.1 million people watch, and it makes a really good question. And see if you guys think about it for a second. How many other shows that have been canceled or just, decided to not, be broadcast anymore, if you brought back the entire original cast, could beat 18 million? The only, I can think of three, and tell me if I'm missing the mark or if you want to disagree with me. So these are shows, if they brought back the original cast, they could beat 18 million like Roseanne did. Friends, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Friends would do it. I think Seinfeld would do it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if you had all the original cast, Cheers could do it.
I would agree with every one of those.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. I think Seinfeld is the absolute 100% winner there because they ended the show – just because Jerry wanted to end it. There was no ratings problems, anything like that. Matter of fact, they threw tons of cash at him, and they still said no.
Same thing with Friends.
Yeah,
well,
I believe,
actually, it was their ninth season, and the number nine is Jerry Seinfeld's favorite number. So he decided he didn't need the money and he didn't need the fame, so he wanted to end it on his favorite number.
Good.
And that's why it ended on the ninth season.
Is there any other show you think could beat the 18 million people mark?
Yes.
What's that?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
Why?
I just don't think it was a big enough success even when it was on.
But he's such a big success now. If Will Smith came back in that character, do a TV show.
I think Fresh Prince was the first show for a lot of people that saw definitely something buddy in hip hop, black, prime time.
It's coming back.
It could absolutely have a groundswell and be huge on social media.
That or Girlfriends, either one of those shows.
Girlfriends,
yeah.
I don't even know that show.
Girlfriends is a predecessor to Friends. They ripped off Girlfriends to make Friends.
But I don't think 18 million people would.
They would. It's the same way that you guys, most people didn't think that Black Panther would do what it did. People thought it was going to do good, and it's breaking records. Again, these two shows cater to a different cultural aspect of our society.
I think Fresh Prince would, because black, white, no matter who you are, like, everyone watched Fresh Prince.
And it's coming back.
Is it coming back?
It's coming back. It's coming back as Will Smith's character will play the uncle to the niece who is now moving to Philadelphia.
Will Smith is going to be in it?
As far as I know, yeah.
I'll be damned.
I'm all about this.
That's the scuttlebutt,
here we go.
As it were.
Here we go.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jimmy, because it's an old article I just found. So.
Yeah, two of those that are coming up on the texting service over and over. By the way, that number is 77031. Just save it as Rodeo and text all the shows. We love it. Thank you. Saying Home Improvement.
Yeah.
And Married with Children.
Yeah, I don't think it'd do it more than 18 million.
You got to remember too, it's weird because if you put yourself, you paint yourself into those situations, you're asking people like Christina Applegate to come back as a 43-year-old woman,
right,
and be relevant in a role she made when she was 17, 18, 19, 20. I mean, it doesn't really translate.
And Roseanne,
like,
that's the same thing. Yeah.
But I mean, she was a bombshell in that situation and really kind of the butt of the dumb blonde joke. And I just don't think that the Sarah Gilbert was ever the dumb blonde or the dumb anything in that show, you know?
Imagine, if you will, if you could get all the people from The Cosby Show to come back and do it. Would people watch The Cosby Show?
No, come on.
No.
No.
They wouldn't even watch.
Because he could never reprise his role as America's dad ever again.
Yeah.
He just, you know, that one creepy wandering eye.
Now the douchebags are checking in with Family Ties.
Man. I used to love Family Ties. I thought it was a hilarious show. But
yeah.
I don't know, though. Okay, Michael J. Fox was beloved. And if they said, listen, we're gonna do Family Ties, and, you know, it's him dealing with Parkinson's, and the whole family's coming back, do you think 18 million people would just watch the episode just to kind of see them be that family again?
Maybe the episode. I guess if you're going to break it down to will they watch the first episode, maybe so. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how big of that audience that Roseanne carries as the show moves on.
Right, right.
You know, that's obviously the million-dollar question.
Well, and I think you pay $1 million to guy to hold the Steadicam?
Yeah, and there has to be a time limit. It has to be off the air like 10 years, right?
No, I'm just, if you bring back the entire cast and you put them on, you know, would 18 million people watch? I mean, I don't think it matters. Here's a good one.
What? A sneaky good one. Cause this was, I mean, we're talking about shows that were iconic, changed the flavor of television at the time.
Night Calls.
How about Miami Vice?
Ooh, if you brought back Miami Vice and you got Don Johnson.
Because at one time Miami Vice was the biggest thing in the world. Miami Vice as a show was a global thing.
Yeah, it had more men wearing pastel jackets with the sleeves rolled up to their elbows than ever should have been allowed.
Isn't there a thing on Facebook right now about Dawson's Creek or something? They took a photo. They took a photo. I don't know if they're bringing it back. I just know they took a photo with all the old.
It's a reunion show.
Is it a show? Because I just saw the picture and people are losing their S.
Well, let's ask the question, why do you think Roseanne worked? Why do you think it got so much? I mean, you ask one side, you ask the other, you're going to get different things, but I think it's a mix of both.
I think it's what you said. I think because all these different topics, a lot of people are staying away from them, and Roseanne can do it in a way that makes it comedic. I think it's just the right time for that show to come back.
On both sides, I know people are trying to wave the flag saying, oh, the reason they watch it is because of Trump, and others saying, oh, the reason we watch it is because it's against Trump. Well,
that's our country, right? I think that's why
both those answers
working.
Are correct.
Yeah.
And another reason they watch it is because both of the stars of the show have really never been out of the realm of entertainment.
No, yeah.
Nobody ever disappeared. Roseanne has still been on the radar. John Goodman has definitely still been on the radar. So you still have
Sarah Gilbert, Laurie Metcalf, two legit
stars that are still active working actors, and they're just kind of coming back. A lot of the shows that we've mentioned, the actors after those shows really went on to obscurity.
And really, Laurie Metcalf just nominated for an Academy Award.
Oh, yeah. She's one of the greatest actresses
Sarah Gilbert, she's really good on the show that she does. Really, all of them are still very relevant, so maybe that has something to do with it as well.
Yeah, again, they never got out of the American landscape of entertainment. John Goodman's been making movies on the regular now since he left the show, and Roseanne, in some way, shape, or form, with a talk show, appearing on shows, has always been, again, on the radar.
Okay, with a comeback, if we say in Friends, Seinfeld, Cheers, which one wins the title? Which one has more people watching than anyone? I would have to say, though I didn't watch it, Friends is the one everyone seems to talk about. If you brought all of them back for one
episode.
And
that's the key element that we're talking about here, is that with the original cast.
Original cast,
not a new version of it or not a modernized version, but these characters, these actors coming back and reprising these roles, I think you're right with Friends.
Yeah. Has there been a failure yet with these reboots? I've been sitting here, Full House, biggest show on Netflix.
That's right.
Will and Grace. Huge. That's coming back.
Ten million, but yeah.
But that's, you know, second season.
That's great. Yeah, you're right.
Gilmore Girls, big hit. That's coming back.
Are those on regular TV or are those on...
Gilmore Girls is on Netflix. Will and Grace is on NBC.
Because I think the venue matters. So if it's Hulu or if it's Netflix, because then you've zeroed into, you've given a place, an easy place for your fan base to watch.
Arrested Development hit. Another season. So which ones are failing, or have they done so much market research that they're like, look, this is pretty much a surefire hit? You know what I'm saying? Like, which remakes have come back and failed?
You can't bring back the Golden Girls, can you?
Did they ever bring back any of those late-night soap opera-type shows like Dallas or...
Dallas had a run like on, what's it?
WB or something
TNT
like that.
TNT or something, or one of those networks.
And it did not do well.
Yeah.
I was hoping for Knott's Landing to be a remake.
But speaking of the Golden Girls, you can get a hot sauce set. Each lady has their own hot sauce.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm really into hot sauces right now.
Totally Google Golden Girls hot sauce.
And it has to be, the hottest would be Estelle.
I believe Estelle? So. Estelle Getty,
is she still alive? Estelle Getty?
I don't know.
I think that entire staff is dead.
Betty White's still kicking.
I've killed two people on the air today. Robert Townsend and Byron Allen.
So Maude is past, right? The way they played Maude, what was her name?
She passed.
Yes. Estelle Getty has to have passed. She'd be 114.
She played a woman older than she really was.
She was
younger.
Betty White is older than she was.
That's right.
Just looked older.
Yeah. But she's in the 90s.
Yeah, my internet's not pulling up.
Oh, it's not? Hey, what's going on in the real news?
She died in 2008.
Okay.
She died in 2008.
She was 4 feet 11 tall.
She was adorable and beautiful as well. When you get her out of the makeup there. For her character.
Yeah.
I watched Golden Girls the other day. I'm like on a 90s TV kick. I watched Empty Nest as well.
Oh,
remember that?
No, yeah.
Life goes on.
How about
and
this?
So do we.
She got married in 1947.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
1947.
So we're going to find out.
And divorced in 2004.
So we're going to find out with Nora Solomon, guilty or innocent today?
It's hard to say. I think with the jurors asking for to read her signed statement again, saying that she knew beforehand about the attack, shows that, you know, they've got a lot of evidence. It's been like 18 days this trial has been going on. They've got a lot of evidence to sift through. We could see a verdict by the end of the week, by tomorrow, but... I would be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised, I guess. Anything can happen at this point.
They can throw anything against the wall at the end of closing arguments.
And that's kind of like what the defense is saying the prosecution did yesterday. Yeah. You know, they'd been hammering all the time that it was pulse, pulse, pulse. That's what he was targeting. And then yesterday during the government's closing arguments, they said, no, Disney was where he'd originally planned to take his attack. He was going to hide his AR-15 in a stroller, you know, that kind of thing. And so the defense is saying, you know...
He was going to hide his AR-15 in the stroller. That was what they talked about.
That was the plan.
Yeah, and they had a photo of the stroller, and they also had a security camera showing him walk past about 5 or 6 cops that were standing outside of Disney.
Yeah.
Disney Village, I think it was.
Disney Springs.
Disney Springs, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Disney Springs. So still on verdict watch for that. Not sure when that's going to come down, but of course we'll run in from the newsroom if you guys don't get it first.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Today is National Vietnam Veterans Day.
Okay.
Congratulations to all our Vietnam veterans.
Yeah.
Make sure if you see one today, give them the hero or her the hero welcome that they did not receive 50 years ago and should have received. It wasn't their war that they fought, right? They're just put on the uniform. Senators Bill Nelson and another senator from Rhode Island are in town this morning. They're at a special ceremony at Lake Nona at the VA Medical Center office to, you know, give the veterans special commemorating pins.
Yeah.
I believe MLB, Major League Baseball, kicks off today.
Today.
In about 3 hours, we have the first pitch down in Miami.
Yeah, against the Chicago Cubs.
Exactly.
Go Cubbies.
And if you hurry up, you can get front row. For the whole game.
And it's also National Mermaid Day.
National Mermaid Day.
I wish they were real. I wish
they are real.
I do too.
And I love mermaid hair.
I do too. I love mermaids.
Mermaid hair is cool.
Mermaid hair is hot.
Yeah.
Y'all really into a fishtail?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this coming from a man who wears Batman underwear.
Exactly.
Don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but my Batman underwear doesn't smell as bad as a fishtail. You know what I'm saying?
You went really far.
Hey, you want to stick around for some meat of the week?
Is a bear, you know what, in the woods?
It does. He does. Yeah. All right. We'll do Meet of the Week when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Mosh of the Morning.
Member FDIC.
Join us tonight for the Monster Comic of the Year competition, round three. Marcus Crispo will be there, Vince Taylor, Mike Charette, Timmy Time, and Ryan Holmes, all competing tonight to be your next Monster Comic of the Year. You can help us pick them when you show up tonight. It's going to be awesome. It's at the Abbey. It's a lot of fun. You will love it. Deborah Roberts here with us.
Hey, I forgot to mention earlier when you were talking about the news that matters, the real news, as you call it.
Real news, yeah.
I mean, motorists are really, really, really being taken to task this morning with the wildfire that's in Volusia County. It is unbelievably backed up on 95 in Volusia County. And it all started because a developer started burning construction debris. So that controlled burn quickly got out of control.
It's dry
and windy. And a controlled burn quickly turned into a 200-acre brush fire. Both sides of I-95 were shut down this morning. Traffic was backed up as all these big rigs and other traffic have to get off the highway, go find an alternate route, and then get back on the highway. So if you're going to be traveling and your travel takes you anywhere near I-95, just keep that in mind. You still may be rerouted.
Damn. Hey, who's hungry? It's time for Meat of the Week.
I'm hungry!
There you go.
Scream for Jimmy.
Okay. By the way, you get this from Petty's Meats. Petty's Meats is awesome. I live by there, so I get to drive by every day and see a line of people getting ready for Easter, so I can almost, I don't know what meat this is, but I know lamb is really big for Easter, and let's see if that's what this is. I can't tell by looking or smelling. That's the thing about Petty's Meats. You go there, and they've got everything you'd ever want, no matter what you're wanting for Easter dinner, or for even, they even have seafood, and they got so much great stuff. So Jimmy just made this. Who wants to?
It's lamb.
Is it lamb?
Yeah.
You can tell?
Yeah, I can smell. It's lamb.
You can smell it.
Because that's a big thing for Easter, right?
Yes, it is.
Lamb is a big deal. Now, I don't know if that's what it is or not, but Jimmy, are we right?
What'd you guess?
Lamb.
Boom! Yeah. It's Easter.
Wow, it's really good. I don't really normally like lamb.
And I will tell you why you like it. And this is why Petty's is super successful. Because they source from the best providers in the country. This is Colorado lamb.
I knew it. It's a little high.
A little high.
It's a high-ass lamb. I can taste the THC.
When they slaughtered this lamb, it didn't really care.
Yeah, it was like, whatever, dude.
It was like, what? Whatever.
Let me hit the vape before.
So what you have is this beautiful leg of lamb in front of you. Now, there's a couple things that happen here for Petty's Meats that makes it very special when they give you the lamb. You can roast it right on the leg if you want.
Right.
Which means you kind of cook it, and you take it, you stand it up, you carve it off, whatever, right? A lot of people kind of get freaked out by bones. Did you know that?
Yeah.
A lot of people
I don't like it myself. I'd rather have them deboned it or whatever.
I like it.
So what you have here is that's exactly what they did. They went in, they took the lamb off the bone, and they make a roll out of it. They roll it up, and they tie it off for you,
mm-hmm.
right? And they can even season it for you. This has a very stereotypical rosemary, salt, pepper mixture that they put on. Rosemary is a really good herb to pair with lamb.
Yeah, it is.
And you could also make a tzatziki sauce with it if you'd like, which is yogurt, dill, cucumber, stuff like that to put on it as well if you'd like. But this, the reason I love this is it takes... It's idiot proof. Even if you're not a big cook, I honestly, guys, we've said this 1,000 times. I cook this in a toaster oven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I cook it in a toaster oven.
It's amazing the meals that come out of that toaster
oven. It's a toaster oven. I mean, I don't need, it's not a professional kitchen. It's not anything. It's a box that I can get up to 350 degrees. Now, what I suggest is this. I had to cook this a little faster simply because of the nature of what we do here today. If you cook this at like 300 degrees for like 3.5 or 4 hours,
right.
you will get the most beautiful, delicious, perfectly medium, that's what I like to eat, that lamb.
Well, this is perfect.
That gives you a really great flavor that isn't so gamey. I know when I started eating lamb, I was like, man, I don't know. That just not hitting me where I like it.
Yeah.
But
do you say gamey for lamb?
Yeah, you do say gamey for lamb a little bit. Yeah, it's got this weird kind of irony flavor that a lot of people, because it's not beef, and Americans are stereotypically beef, pork, chicken people, and they don't like that in between because it has that odd little tinge to it that a lot of people get turned off by.
But not this. Yeah, not
the great
this.
Thing about
it's got
this,
a hint of that Colorado green.
But it does,
very refined.
Yeah. So
very airy.
This lamb is revered nationally, by the way, and that's what they get there. So basically, this is a bone out, tied up for you, pre-seasoned leg of lamb that you can roast off. We cooked it in about 2 hours at 350 in a toaster oven. And with it is, I think, something that's also equally as important that we don't get to talk about with Petties as much, and that's their side dishes. This is their prosciutto rice with peas. And it also has some roasted tomato in there as well, or roasted pepper in there as well. It is a meal in itself. It's amazing and a good accompaniment for this. So legit, you could do fresh bread, leg of lamb, all your sides for Easter dinner coming up, and it will take you nothing. You put it in the oven and go. There's no all-day cooking thing.
How far in advance do you have to ask them to take the bone out? Can they just do it when you're there?
I would order them in advance. These special holidays, Russ, whether it be Christmas for the filet roasts or the pork roast or whatever, give them a little bit of time to make sure that they can get it done for you. You don't want to have to wait to the last minute because a lot of people are doing it.
And they're going to be busy because there's a line when you get there.
And another thing, you guys, I mean, Petty's has been around for 30 years, so we've been talking about them for about 5 or 6 years, so all the people have been shopping there for years already know the deal. They already know to call Monday, Tuesday to get their leg of lamb ready. Don't be that guy.
I don't like lamb. I normally don't. I had a little lamb ball yesterday from the Iraq place, and it was okay. It was just enough. This is a full piece of lamb, and it's really, really good.
Dude, that's awesome. And I'm with you, Carlos. For the longest time, I just wouldn't eat it. I wouldn't order it out or anything.
Yeah.
And I find myself taking more chances with it because the quality is really good. People are sourcing from really quality farms now, and they're getting good meat. And Petty's is one of those places. You cook that medium, and you're going to have a winter Easter dinner.
And not only that, but speaking of the side, you know, a lot of people steer away from wild rice because it takes a little bit longer to cook. It has a little bit of a nutty flavor. Isn't it quite as soft as people generally like their rice?
A little more chewy, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit more chewy, but not with this.
That's great.
This is a perfect accompaniment. And speaking of the interesting meats and, you know, Americans being mainly beef, chicken, and pork, their chili that you brought out, like...
With ground elk?
I could not believe that was elk. That was the best chili. And I said to Jimmy after the show, I need that recipe for that chili. That was fantastic.
They probably won't give it to you. You got to go there and buy it.
That's Petty's run of
that. That's their house chili.
Chili, and it's amazing.
So, Jimmy, there's a tradition or whatever where people, when they have lamb, they have mint jelly with it. Is that like a...
Yeah, don't do that. And I think, because what happens is, a lot of times back in the day, they'd get the lamb, and it would be slaughtered, and it would have sat, you know, and the mint jelly was actually to take that kind of tang away from it a little bit.
Why would you do that? Why mint jelly?
I wouldn't. I would make a good in-house tzatziki sauce if you want to have something a little bit more creamy to put on it, rather than just itself. Also, the great thing about roasting this lamb off, it gives you plenty of fat when it roasts down. So there, in my container, there's probably about 1/4 inch of fat. I would easily make a beautiful gravy out of that just by making a quick little roux with some butter and flour and then incorporating that into it and stirring it right down. Delicious little gravy for it as well.
See, Jimmy, Carlos, if I ask him the right question, he'll answer it to the point where I can finish all my sides.
Exactly. And that question is any question.
So, guys, you know, slide over to Petty's, 434 in Longwood. You know where they are. 30 years here. People drive from all over the country. Matter of fact, we've affected people so much that we have truck drivers out of Jacksonville that text me and email me all the time that pack a cooler with dry ice or those cubes of ice so that when they drive by Petty's, they will pull into that, walk down, get the stuff they love, and then go back can take it home.
Yeah, great people there.
That is cool.
Thank you, Petty's. Deborah Roberts is still here. And, of course, we know Deborah Roberts on Jimmy's show does Animal House. And you love animals. That's your thing. So I
really
to ask
like
you
that lamb.
She loves animals. And so they just came out with the 10 most popular dogs in the U.S. And I'm curious of why one of the dogs, which is Carlos's favorite, has moved up tremendously this year for whatever reason. And I'm trying to figure out why.
Snarling Rottweiler?
You're a bulldog fan.
I am. Yeah.
Whereas the underdog this year that went up two spots to number four, knocking the beagle out of the top five for the first time since 1998, is the Frenchie.
The French bulldog.
The French bulldog, which...
Oh, is that different than your bulldog?
Oh, yes. Yeah, very different.
The big ears.
What's different?
Oh. They're smaller. They got big pointed ears.
Right.
They're very expensive as well.
Very sophisticated.
They're little black dogs.
Oh, that's the one that actually
that
just died on the United flight.
Yeah, yes. The 10-week-old Frenchie puppy.
They smoke cigarettes and are really tired of being occupied.
Yes.
So, okay, why...
very pretentious dog.
You know, once again, it's the Labrador Retriever for I don't know how many years in a row.
27 years in a row, the Labrador Retriever has been chosen as the most popular dog breed in the country, followed by the German Shepherd at number two.
But let's start with the...
I don't know.
Why is, for 27 years, why would the Labrador Retriever...
Have you seen lab puppies?
I mean, I like them.
Have you seen Golden Retriever puppies?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
These are different.
Labs are your stoner friend. They don't need anything to stay happy. They're just naturally happy people, man. I mean, labs are the lowest impact, easiest to love dog. The only thing I ever hear bad about them is they shed. That's like it.
They shed, and they do need exercise.
Yeah.
A Labrador, you do need to make sure that they get out and run and play, but they're good with kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're good with families.
Yeah.
They're not aggressive at all. Very passive.
They're a short-haired dog, and I imagine that's why the Golden just doesn't take the top spot, because it requires a lot of maintenance with a Golden Retriever.
Right. So this conversation right now, in my household, a Labrador Retriever and a Golden Retriever were the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
I realize that with you guys that it's not the same thing.
I understood, but
Labrador Retriever is the dog I was talking about, and those videos of the puppies running out, I can watch those forever.
I'm sorry. Wow. I'm still a Golden Retriever girl.
The Golden Retriever is in third place.
Yep,
German Shepherd. In second place is the German Shepherd. And of course, German Shepherds are... Okay, what do you think the appeal is to that?
Well, German Shepherds are incredibly loyal.
They're very
smart. They're, you know, exercise dogs. Very trainable. Yeah.
They're an impressive dog when you see them.
Yeah.
We have a couple in the neighborhood, and they are, I love them.
Yeah. They are great dogs to have at home. They really, really are. And they latch onto their family, and that's their family. And
that's called the imprint?
Yeah, I mean, they do. And a lot of times you don't need to security train a dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need to train a dog to protect.
Hey, just out of curiosity.
Comes naturally.
Do you think the German Shepherd thing is because of maybe some of these security issues that we've... I mean, the whole thing with the shootings and stuff like that. Do you think the German Shepherds kind of popped up there because people have, like, now started taking the security of their home a little bit more seriously, even down to what pet they're choosing?
No, because consistently it's been in the top five. It's just a very popular dog breed. What's interesting, I don't know if I should even mention this, too late now. When I had a German Shepherd at the time, was a new homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, German Shepherd is unfortunately one of those breeds that home insurance will not cover you if you have that breed.
Yeah.
Because it's considered an aggressive breed dog.
Oh.
So at the time I was married to an Englishman, and in England, since the end of World War II, they will not call German Shepherds German Shepherds.
What do they call them?
They call them Alsatians.
Yeah.
So we put that on the insurance form.
Oh.
Smart.
Super smart.
You had to know your dog breeds to know that
still
it was
the same
really
thing, right?
A German Shepherd. We just called it an Alsatian so that we didn't have to worry about the insurance costs. But it's interesting, the dog breeds that are on that list, it's something that's important to look after, because who would think a St. Bernard.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, would not be covered, but a lot of insurance won't cover if you've got a St. Bernard.
So my neighborhood, I think yours is the same way, Russ. Real dog eccentric people walking their dogs all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's a closed neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of Labradoodles in our neighborhood. Do they fall on that list?
Well, no, I was going to tell you. Okay, so in fourth place was the French Bulldog, and in fifth place is the Bulldog. So those two have four and five. And then number six is the Beagle.
And I have an old English bulldog, which is not that bulldog.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So there's like
he just wears
French.
Terrible cologne.
The Beagle is the one that kind of looks like
Peanuts.
Yeah,
Snoopy.
Like Snoopy. It's Snoopy. Okay, yeah.
They're the worst dog ever.
You think?
Why do you think that is?
They probably bark a lot.
They bark.
They never stop. Shut up. And they don't understand the idea of being hit in the face to shut up.
Number seven is my favorite. I don't care what anybody says. You say whatever you want. But a poodle. I love poodles.
Do you like standard or miniature?
Standard. Poodle. Those, I think they're just smart. They're smart dogs.
They're smart and
sweet. They don't shed.
Yeah, that goes back to your childhood. It's got nothing to do with any of that.
Well, no,
it goes back to that the dog you had, the Peppy dog. That's the thing you've talked about since we've known each other.
You brought
that dog up at least twice a year. That's really what it goes back to.
That was my favorite dog. It was the dog I grew up with and everything. But the fact that it didn't shed made me like it, you know?
Yeah.
And they're super smart dogs. They're considered, I think the only thing smarter than a poodle is the Australian
Shepherd.
Yeah. So it's number seven on the list, poodles. And then Rottweiler is eighth on the list.
A great dog. Great breed.
What's appealing about the Rottweiler?
Again, like the German Shepherd, a big, strong, loyal dog breed. You know, they're aggressive. They can look aggressive. You know, for a while, Rotties kind of had the reputation that pits have.
They do, yeah.
They're considered one of the bully breeds.
Yeah. Hooch didn't help.
But still, he was actually a good dog. Yeah.
Number nine is a Yorkie.
Oh, God.
And then number 10 is the German short-haired pointer.
Oh, yeah. Good hunting dog. They have the little nubby tails.
Yeah, you look. Those are all relatively low-impact animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a lot of like your Weimaraners or your dogs are just wired solid. My son's got a dog that's a pit bull mixed with something else, a terrier of some sort.
Yeah.
And it hovers. It has so much energy.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't just run. It gets so hyped, it creates this aura of magnet energy around
it. It's like that Weimaraner,
man. It just floats in the air.
Yeah.
And it never stops, and it's just stupid. It just won't learn.
Now, your son is an athlete, right?
Yes.
Perfect dog for him. See, that's what really matters is it's knowing who you're. Like, I'm not an athlete. So getting a dog that's going to require me to go run. Compatibility.
Too much, yeah. Okay, so we know what we consider the smartest dog of all. What's the dumbest dog of all?
Dachshund.
What dog is the dumbest breed? It's like the stupid as hell. Which one would you say is the dumbest of all?
A human being.
No. In the dog world.
I don't know, honestly. I don't know.
Bulldog's pretty stupid.
I'm telling you, dachshunds are stupid.
Yeah,
really?
Bulldogs are pretty stubborn. I mean, they. But I don't know.
Let's just see. Stupidest dog.
Stupid, let's see what it says. What about like a chihuahua?
Nah, she runs.
Are they smart?
No, I would be worried about my bulldog being out in the open before my chihuahua. My chihuahua would survive 3 years living under.
Jimmy,
because she's Mexican.
Exactly.
Jimmy, look up on Google. So let's see what
you're saying. Yeah.
There
are a couple of the dogs there, and I will tell you, I will take a case with a couple of these. The dogs that appear on this list and the list you just read are the Beagle.
For dumb?
And the Bulldog.
Yeah.
All right? Here's how they go. Afghan Hound, horrible band. Basset Hound, Beagle, and then they say Mastiff. And I have to tell you something.
Oh, that's yours.
See, this is why I don't like doing the list, because the last time I did this, my program director over at News Radio 102.5 WFLA, Jim Poling, he has a Beagle.
Yeah.
And he swears they are not the dumbest dogs, and then he will list all the examples on how they're smart. And Mastiffs, I've met Dexter. Dexter is not a dumb dog.
Dude, my dog pays attention more. My dog Dexter pays attention more and is the best. Most listening, Dex, and you just, Dex, he looks at, and then he waits for the command, and then he does it. He waits at the door when I take his leash off for me to walk in. I look at him, I nod my head, and then he'll walk in the house. He's actually the smartest dog I've ever owned. Here we go. Pekingese, Bloodhound, Borzow, or Boise?
Borzai.
Borzai, yeah. Never even heard of that one. Chow Chow, which are also...
Those ones with the black tongue, right?
Chow.
Insurance nightmares as well. They're very aggressive.
Well, because they're, you know, Chinese fighting dogs, along with Sharpays.
Bulldog, and then a Basenji.
A Basenji.
The stupidest dog ever.
I wouldn't have thought of Basenji on the list.
I don't even know what that is.
It's hard to describe.
Yeah,
kind of
looks
like a Finnish Spitz.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, Deborah Roberts, thank you for coming in. If there's a verdict in the Norris Holman trial, let us know.
I will run over here like my ass is on fire.
All right, when we come back, Carlos is going to take you to the top. You're listening to the Mantra of the Morning.
What?
Friend of the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. Tonight's a big night. It's the Monster Comic of the Year competition. Join us tonight. Come on out. Have a great time. It's a great date night at the Abbey. A lot of folks are showing up. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be filming for our YouTube channel, so you can be on our YouTube channel. So join us tonight at the Monster Comic of the Year competition, and it's at the Abbey. And your host is Mr. Carlos Navarro, that's going to take you to the top.
Let's go. Good morning, everybody. Hello. My name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To the Top. Thank you for joining us. Try and make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. Today is no different. And the To the Top charity of the day is Healing the Children. Yes, that's a good thing, right? You don't even know what it is, but sounds like something.
Sounds good, yeah.
You know? No, actually, Healing the Children is doing an event coming up, actually, this Thursday at the Citrus Club. And I may be going to. It's the 20th anniversary dinner. Is it gala?
Gala.
Gala?
Gala. It's gala. Why do I want to say gala?
Because some people say gala. It's like tomato, tomato.
It is.
Some people say gala.
I've been promising a gala to my wife for a while now. I say, well, I'm going to take you to a gala. Maybe this is it. I don't know.
Maybe she thinks you're saying Ocala.
Maybe so. But, yeah, check it out. Go to htcflorida.org. They help to provide medical care to children, you know, surgeries and therapeutic care. It's a big deal, and they've done amazing work. And so htcflorida.org is the To the Top charity of the day today. And, yeah, I had a good day yesterday. We talked a little bit earlier about kind of the stuff that we did yesterday. One of the things that I did was tree trimming.
Oh, yeah.
Branch trimming.
That's man business.
Yeah, you do feel like a man when you're not supposed to get up on a ladder and use your saw. I broke the rules.
Oh, okay. Really? Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Look at you, rebel.
Yeah, I'm rebel.
I've got the scars to show you what a bad idea that is.
You do something like that, you're like, that's for dummies. That's not for someone like me. Yeah, so that's for big morons.
Exactly.
I can handle this.
Like, I had the, that's exactly what I was like. These are for other people.
Those guys don't know what they're doing. I know what I'm doing.
I've used this saw 4 times in my life. I think I should be dangling from a ladder.
Yeah, there's no question. That's the only thing that make this saw better is my teetering balance.
Pretty much. So with that theory, I was chopping down, boom, falling left and right. But I mean, you're supposed to cut. Back-a-da. You're supposed to cut, you know, little portion first, and then slowly to the base of the branch. Mm-hmm. That's for losers, right, Russ? Right.
I mean,
I'm trying to get the biggest branches, like a big old piece of crab meat when you crack that puppy open. I'm not trying to get little branches falling over. I want big, thunderous. Yeah. Boom!
Big thick ones.
First and foremost, how do you have any branches left?
I know, you're right.
Are you starting to go into neighbors' houses and doing this?
I kind of want to see
some. Do we need to have an intervention?
I am a bit overzealous when I commit to something. Angel, a lot of trees in my front yard. A lot of trees. And the leaves to show.
Could you imagine like a helicopter shot of Los's neighborhood? Everyone else has got like nice foliage and everything. Yeah. And Carlos's house, barren.
Baron. So I'm up at the very tippy top of the ladder because I'm trying to reach this one branch. Okay, that's just, it's dangling. It'd been dangling for a while. It'd just been dangling. Every time I'm like, oh, God, I want to cut that, but it was really high up there. So I'd done a great job. I got every other piece. I cut it up. I put it aside. And then finally, I was like, this is the last branch.
Yeah.
Usually the last of anything is when things can go wrong.
Right? Because you think you've won. Now you get all full of yourself.
I used to be like, now I got this down. I know what I'm doing.
Exactly. So that's exactly what I did. I'm at the second to last step of the ladder.
The one that says with a big old giant sticker, don't step on it.
But I needed to get this branch, and I'm getting it. And I'm like, well, I could chop off that little part of it first. But then I won't get like a big boom when that branch falls. I'll just go straight to the base. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Nothing.
I mean, I can't see anything happening. How about you guys?
So I take it. You know, you got to hold both buttons at the same time. It's a super long pole.
And then make the noise.
And you got to make the noise. It's hanging. I'm like, I'm fine. I said, well, it'll just fall straight down. I mean, it's the big deal. So I go, yeah, like a pole vaulter. The branch
goes, snaps, so the front of the branch hits the ground, and then it torpedoes the cut end, the sharp spear end, towards me in slow motion. And I'm like, Neo, the thing bounces, and I'm like, like that. It was almost right, the wiener, right there. It was like, we were just going to have one kid forever because I almost got speared in the wiener with a gigantic branch.
That would have hurt.
And it
thanks, Russ.
Yeah,
thanks, Russ.
My wife is just hearing about this. Yeah, it happened. Okay. That's why you cut the branch from the small part first.
That's why.
Down.
See.
Hey, but see, here it is.
Now you know. It's like, you know, it's like a G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I'm sure
no one's at the battle.
Again.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a teaching moment.
Thank you, Angel. I like that teaching moment. Don't get speared in the wiener with a
don't
branch.
Don't get speared in the wiener.
That, honestly, horrible call I'd have to make, right? I'm in the hospital, Russ. What would happen? Well, a gigantic branch speared me in the wiener.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not getting over that one. I'm here, though.
No, you're not rubbing dirt on that one.
No. I literally, Neo stuff. And the branch was like, ba-ga-da. But he missed. All right. motivational minute. Fight. You gotta fight. Not physically. We gotta fight mentally, man. Whether it's fighting for a person that you love, whether it's fighting for your own well-being, whether it's fighting for your health, sometimes you gotta put up a fight. I saw a picture of a little 4-year-old girl who was ringing the bell for her chemotherapy being done.
Oh, man.
Okay, 2.5 years. She took and went through those treatments. She fought.
Right.
She fought. I know it sounds silly, but my dog, who's dying, is fighting. I know it sounds somewhat silly. I straight up discounted my dog and said, well, they don't know whether they're dying. They're not going to fight. She's proved me wrong. She's fighting. She knows she's sick. There's something in your life right now that you're thinking about that you're not fighting for. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your own health, like I said. I don't know what that is.
Your right to party.
Fight for your right to party, Russ Rollins. You fought for it many times.
I most certainly am, and usually win.
Bo literally fought for his right to party.
Every night.
So fight whatever that is. And if you have something you're fighting for, you need, just, you know, you want to talk, whatever it may be. Hit me up, to the top, Carlos. Oh, whoa. And that's going to be on Twitter. Or on Instagram, and I got found another little thing here.
Yeah, well, let's do this. Let's take a little break. We'll come back.
Sounds good. We'll
wrap that up.
Sounds good.
Your opportunity to win $1,000 is now, all right?
Ooh.
This is your chance. This is your $1,000. Don't fight for your $1,000 right now. Text that keyword to 200-200, and you can win.
And I'll tell you right now, there's something that is in your home that could be making your children very sick that almost everybody has. I'll tell you what the hell it is when we get back.
When we come back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
$1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.